in the slave manuals, it says, and Julius Caesar wrote in some of his annals back to the, when he was exiled, you know, to fight the Germans, but finally beat them when nobody else could for 300 years, so he became this big hero. They'd roll in and they'd say, you know, to a fortress, it was usually wooden fortresses, to the Germans, all right, you got a week to give up and to give us all this tribute of cattle and horses, and a bunch of your men got to go join our legion, and you got to give us this tribute, or in a week or two, they give them a number, we're going to burn everything down, we're going to kill every man down to age 11, and we're going to ship all your women and children off as slaves to Rome. They just show up, and they say, you got a week, you got two, you know, it would vary, you got a month, and then we're going to burn everything down, and we're going to kill everybody. And then they would get all the women together. They had all their interpreters, and they'd say, listen, some of you are going to be kept here to raise crops and work for us, for our legions, and some of you are going to work in our brothel and be our whores, and we're going to decide which women serve us better, who's going to be in charge, and if any of you give us any lip, we're just going to start killing your little boys. So out of love, the white house slaves would be the biggest oppressor, and they figured out the psychology, and the Romans had it all down. And that's the same thing. So feminism, that's what it is. It's the house slave. Every major corporation of the Fortune 100 and almost every major government and the big think tanks and the tax-free foundations are robber barons. And by the 1880s, they developed out of the theory of eugenics from the 1850s, the modern update on it, it came from Plato and the Greeks, of social Darwinism, meaning no matter how evil, how destructive, how horrible you are to the general public, you are the apex predator as the globalists, as the robber barons, as the British Empire, as Cecil Rhodes, as J.P. Morgan, as Lord Rothschild. Anyone you can steal, dominate, manipulate, poison, kill, enslave, deserves it, and you're doing a positive thing for society. It's a twist on that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. But then they sell it through a lovey, squishy, liberal NPR voice of, oh, be nice, be friendly, oh, women need to vote, oh.
Two of the co-founders of Ms. Gloria Steinem and Pat Carbine were guest speakers at this luncheon this afternoon, and they're both with me now on Fresh Air.
No. Now they're wedded to the state and the system, and they're the new bosses, just like the Romans did.
Gloria Steinem said, if you don't go out to work, you betray the movement of feminism. You betray the women's rights movement. Babies will be fine. Don't worry about them. Put them into daycare. Give them to a babysitter. You need to go out to work. You need to be soldiers in this war that we're waging. And women just soaked it up. Meanwhile, Gloria Steinem never had children. So she could say that. That message was very destructive.
So they sell the tyranny as liberal and loving, but all of it is to undermine and control. You see movies like Django Unchained and stuff, and, you know, it's a black guy in the house, and he is the biggest racist and all that. And that idea of Uncle Tom, it wasn't Uncle Tom's, folks. I'm not putting down black women. On record, it was black women in charge. That's called being a house slave. Now, where'd they get that? You think that was invented by the colonies? No. All over the world, including Africa, where they still have slavery, it was the same institution.
In Libya, hundreds of emigrants along North Africa migrants' routes are being bought and sold in an open slave market. So listen carefully. Slavery is not dead. It is very much alive.
You'd go capture and take over a tribe. You'd kill the men, keep some of the boys, and then the women would go under Stockholm Syndrome, almost all of them, and would be your best servants, and you'd create them as the subclass, but the bosses over the others. It's the same thing over and over and over again. So you can talk to a feminist. You can talk to all these brainwashed people, and they feel like they're part of the power structure, and they're in the system. This system is designed to make you stupid and alone and enslaved and finally dead. Just don't look at me because I'm white and tell me I'm some like superstar slave master. In fact, you know, the only place in the world, now that they've studied all the cultures, where they didn't have slavery was Western Europe. Africa had slavery. Asia had slavery. Mesoamerica was based on slavery, and they sacrificed the slaves. What you've been taught about white people is absolute horseshit from one end to another.
The ancient blue wizard is who I be. The magic of Methilene flows through me. His wars of info have gone through the ages to keep your minds locked in cages. Break free from the lies and save your soul, or the demonic agenda shall reach its goal.
Upon this field, with steel in hand, I guard the truth across the land. No tyrant's crown, no foreign laws shall pierce the shield of InfoWars. This dagger's point, both sharp and true, defends the rights for me and you. So grab your phone without delay, and go to the website if you may. Order your dagger to stand in the fight, before the globalists turn out the lights.
It's Tuesday, August 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Tuesday morning, August 26th, 2025. We got a lot to talk about. Continuing the discussion from yesterday, mainly on just what the hell is happening in the UK and all over Europe and America as well. As more and crazier events keep happening relating to immigration and the horrifying consequences thereof. So we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to be joined by Rex Jones in the third hour to break down all of this, and I'll go to your phone calls in the second hour, maybe even in the first hour. We'll have to wait and see. But like I said, we have a lot to get into today, and a lot of it has to do with, again, the chaos caused by the immigration into the UK, in particular Europe overall, and then the reaction from the governments there. And I just hope sort of the awakening isn't too little too late. But we'll get into all of it. And we'll go to first clip number 24, since we just showed that video of Alex Jones talking about slavery, this human institution that's been around as long, just about as long as organized human society has. Of course, we've progressed. Humanity has been hauled up from the depths in the mud, but not equally and not all at the same time. And it's not a foregone conclusion, and there's nothing, intrinsic in the passage of time that means that, progress always goes in this direction. So the fact that we now, as a society, as a species, really see slavery as this, horrifying relic of the past, is thanks pretty much entirely to Europeans and Europeans alone. Let's go to clip number 24. This is When Slavery Ended the World Over. Let's watch.
If American history is so bad, why did the majority of the world have slavery long after it was abolished here? Because there was still slavery in the Ottoman Empire in 1909. Cameroon, 1906. Chad, 1905. Egypt, 1884. Ethiopia, 1942. Ghana, 1874. Kenya, 1907. Liberia, the 1930s. And don't get me started on that. Liberia deserves its own special talk. Morocco, 1925. Namibia, 1908. Nigeria, 1916. Sierra Leone, 1928. Sudan, 1924. Uganda, 1920. Afghanistan, 1923, Bahrain, 1937, Iran, 1929, Iraq, 1924, Israel, Palestine, 1929, Jordan, 1929, Oman, 1970, Saudi Arabia, 1962, China, 1910, Pakistan, 1992, Thailand, 1905, Mongolia, 1921, but the UK, 1833, the USA, 1865, and then the world would slowly follow. They teach about American slavery, but they don't teach about slavery all over the rest of the world. It's taught out of context, on purpose, and the goal is to turn our young people against the roots of this nation. Against the Constitution, against the Bill of Rights. And this is why I write books on the First Amendment, the right to bear arms, the American history that every kid should learn, about all the propaganda, and so much more. ClassicalLearner.com.
So you got, I figured I'd leave that plug in there because he does do really good videos. And of course, he's exactly right. This is taught in this specific way. And this, I really do think, goes to the heart of the racial issue right now. Because some people will treat it almost like a distraction when you talk about the values of being an American, how it's not about your race or your color, but it's about, you know, what you believe and what you're loyal to and, you know, these American ideas. And in some cases, that is a cop-out, right? When you've got Charlie Kirk saying, you know, America, it doesn't matter. You can replace every American with a foreigner and it's still America because of these ideas. But there's something a little bit deeper. There is the fact that when you destroy the identity of a group of people, you destroy their ideas. And it's the ideas that came out of America, which itself was just a continuation of a series of civil wars in England, which itself was an outcome of the, religious schism that came about because of Protestantism and the shattering of the stranglehold the Catholic Church had on the crowns of Europe. And you realize that all of these things, freedom of speech, right to bear arms, these things that make us as individuals free and, you know, confirm and ratify and not grant us, but simply enumerate the rights given to us by God. These are the barriers to the totalitarian regime. These are the barriers to the globalist construct of neo-feudalism. They're trying to take us back to 1775 before the invention, the modern invention of the Republic, which now the world over, everybody sees as another mark of progress, just like ending slavery. Like this, a whole idea of having kings and queens that are unquestionable and, you know, rule forever. It's passe. I mean, they're sort of tourist traps now, right? That's what they tell you. Of course, in the UK, the queen has just as much power as she ever did in the 1400s. Similar, amount of, you know, governmental control under, I guess she's dead. The king, rather. So it's both. It's not that, oh, they're just trying to destroy this idea and it happens to we be white people that had that idea. But that is the case. And there's a reason that you have the Smithsonian and other organizations coming out with, you know, anti-white propaganda saying, you know, all this stuff is white culture. All these terrible things like pulling yourself up by your bootstraps or being on time or respecting the founding fathers. Like there's a reason that the statues of the founding fathers were torn down, and it ain't because they're a racist. It's because they imparted humanity the ideas that make us free from coercion and control from these anti-human forces that are currently desperately trying to enslave us all. And so there's a, you know, obvious connection there. And we've talked about this forever. It's probably one of my most popular segments from this show is when I'm going off about this and how the people in power recognize a, you know, racial aspect to what's impeding them from enslaving all of humanity. And it's the fact that the ideas of self-sufficiency and independence and government by consent rather than force, those are European ideas, came from European people. And it's European character that upholds them. So that's what's being attacked and destroyed. Very deliberately, on purpose, and with incredible efficiency. Now, I've dropped a couple videos in there. I'm not sure what we have censored and what we don't. So I'm kind of afraid to go. I'm kind of afraid to go to some of these. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to go to some other clips here. In fact, let's go to this one. I think it's one of the early ones. Clip number 3. Because this, again, it's just one of really innumerable examples. So you just take what this guy's about to tell you. He's an experienced you know, very accomplished litigator cannot get a job for the life of him because of the racial quotas in governmental hiring. So take this story and multiply it by a million, multiply it every single day, a dozen times a day, and I ask you how a civilization could survive this mindset. Let's watch.
Let me tell you how great white privilege is, okay? I'm highly educated, highly experienced in mediation, law, and I applied to the federal government 160 times with one interview that I was interviewed by a African-American woman and a Hispanic male in South Carolina at the EEOC. Get that. I flew from Panama, the country, to Houston, to Kansas City, to Atlanta, Georgia, to South Carolina to be interviewed. And when I walked in for the interview, this is what happened. I walked in, sat down, an African woman came out, looked at me, didn't say a word to me, walked back into the office. Then when I went in for the interview, I sat down and the African-American woman and Hispanic male said, we want to thank you for coming in for the interview. And I said, well, I appreciate the opportunity. She goes, we're done. I mean, I said, what do you mean we're done? Don't you want to ask me any questions about my experience, my skills? Nope, we're done. That was it. That was my interview, of which I didn't get hired. They hired an African-American woman with no experience, who was a former flight attendant, to take a job as a mediator. Unbelievable. Now, you want to talk about another? This is happening right now. I'm suing Lake County, Florida, for a DEI hire, which they made recently, for the courthouse as a mediator. Now, get this. I have 40 years' experience. I'm a white male. And I have degrees from Purdue in law and studied at Harvard and Pepperdine and Duke University, University of Missouri, University of Houston, so many universities. I have a lot of experience. Worked with the U.S. Department of Justice and Homeland Security. Now get this. Instead of hiring me with all my experience, they hire an Asian woman, 30 years old, demanding twice the salary that they wanted, and has no experience in law, no education in law, no experience as a mediator, there's a volunteer. And that's what they hired instead. DEI hired blatantly. And it was hired by a woman who is Indian and has a law degree from a California law school, which means it's not valid in Florida. So this is the type of people that are going on and trying to say white privilege. Oh, we get all these benefits. That is crazy. It is not true. And so get off this high horse about white privilege. It doesn't exist. We're more discriminated against than it used to be with African-American people 50 years ago. So get off your high horse talking about white privilege.
It's pretty crazy, but I can't say it's not true. More discriminated against than black people 50 years ago. And even outside of, you know, maybe you don't care. Maybe you just see America as sort of a jailhouse yard and you're just, you know, trying to get, you know, as much as you can for your particular, you know, maybe you don't actually give a damn about the, you know, foundational sort of underlying beliefs that we're supposed to have in terms of all men created equal. Like maybe you're not outraged at the, you know, blatant discrimination on display, which you probably should be. The fact is you're screwing yourselves over. Like we are screwing ourselves over. How many examples do you think there are of middle-aged white dudes who are just incredibly skilled, incredibly competent? You know, we're raised, I mean, we're talking about the boomer generation at this point. We're raised with their own self-identity wrapped up in non-discrimination, non-bigotry. Right? When you talk about the baby boomers, you're talking about people who like came of age in the 1960s. These are not racists, right? These are not antebellum slave owners in the South. These are boomer ex-hippie lawyers, right? These are the people, which Okay, you know, maybe they've learned their lesson by this point. Maybe now they're like looking around going, well, wait a second, I thought we made a deal. You know, yeah, well, yeah, you know, you gave away everything, actually. Actually, you just gave away everything to people who don't appreciate it and actually hate you for it. So well done. Well done, boomers. Point is, these are not, you know, people that you put in charge and then do what is being done to them, right? Almost gleefully discriminate against people that aren't like them. Because that, and that again is the sense that I get, right? When he talks about the black woman, like seeing him and not even saying anything and going in and just, this interview's over, sweetie. He's like, but I traveled like 3,000 miles to be here. And she's like, oh, I know. I know. I love it. I love that I made you do that. How do you like it? This is for slavery. The sort of seething resentment, the joy they get at hurting other people. And that really is what it is. We'll show you some more videos a little bit later. But all that to the side, is this not a way to just destroy a country? That you've got incredibly competent, able people who are being deliberately excluded from positions of authority because of their race, because of who they are. It just is suicidal. And it's again, like there, you know, there's political stuff to get into. Like there's a lot of political stuff to get into if we want. But most of it, even then, aligns with what I'm talking about, which is just the, in general, insane anti-white discrimination that is present in every European country, and especially here in America. And it's getting to, I think it's getting to a breaking point. I don't know exactly what that means. But we've got the video from Scotland of a little girl brandishing a knife and an axe while being filmed and followed and harassed by, you know, random Muslim men imported into their country. Very, very similar vibe to the Shiloh Hendricks video, by the way. We'll go to that in just a second. We've got, of course, just the wholesale genocide taking place in Europe as their people are systematically discriminated against and being replaced by third worlders who are arriving in a ever increasing flow. But then come over here, you come to America. Yesterday, Donald Trump has given this press conference. We went to a little bit of it at the end of our show. Clip 21 here is the statement that he made at the end. Let me make sure I'm looking at the right one. And it's like at a certain point, I mean, what do we need to do to have just like maybe just one politician actively not hating white people and doing everything they can to discriminate against white people? I've been looking into some of the numbers when it comes to universities and things. It's really shocking. I mean, do you know that it's like if I find these things out and they're so crazy and then I am like about to say it. I'm like, I better double check that because it sounds too crazy to be true. But unless I'm mistaken, I'm pretty sure the incoming Harvard class was like 0% white people. Something along those lines. Some about that rate. I'll have to double check that. But clip 22 here, this is Trump saying he'll allow 600,000 Chinese students into the U.S. Let's watch.
President Xi would like me to come to China. It's a very important relationship. As you know, we're taking a lot of money in from China because of the tariffs and the different things. And it's a very important relationship. We're going to get along good with China. I hear so many stories about we're not going to allow their students. We're going to allow their students to come in. We're going to allow, it's very important, 600,000 students. It's very important. But we're going to get along with China. But it's a different relationship that we have now with China. It's a much better relationship economically than it was before. With Biden, boy, what he allowed that, I mean, they just took him to the cleaners, you know.
600,000 Chinese students to be allowed entry to the U.S. for college as trade talks with China press on. And again, we'll go a bit. In fact, I think we have clip number 9 censored, right? This is Peyton Kelly, friend of the show, guest of American Journal. Here's her talking about Donald Trump's revelation. What? All right, when we bring that in, we'll show that. Because she lays out some of the numbers where it's like 300,000 Indian students already. There's already 300,000 Chinese students. Now we're welcoming in another 600,000 Chinese students. So already American, especially white Americans, are being discriminated against when getting into college. That's what a lot of the DEI program, you know, craps about. And now they'll have to compete with 600,000 Chinese people who will either take jobs here in America as, you know, H-1B imports. Remember, we got to attach a green card to their diploma. Or they'll go back to China, meaning we'll both give away 600,000 seats in our universities, and then we'll be short 600,000 engineers when they all take their education back to China. Here's Peyton Kelly breaking it down.
In white replacement news, every person on the right actually agreed on something for the first time ever today, and people who weren't already pissed off at Trump definitely are about this.
It's a very important relationship. We're going to get along good with China. I hear so many stories about we're not going to allow their students. We're going to allow their students to come in. We're going to allow, it's very important, 600,000 students.
Yeah, let's add another 600,000 Chinese students to the 300,000 that we already have and the 300,000 Indian students that we already have, where white kids are by far the minority at these universities and can't even get jobs when they graduate. I mean, they are piling in from China and India, and we're going to add another 200% of those Chinese students. We have no idea how many of these young adults could be working as spies or sleeper cells for the Chinese government. Just bring them on in. In 2019, white students were 45.6% of undergraduate enrollment, so already the minority by far. And by 2024, white students made up just 39.7% of undergraduate enrollment. That was a 15% drop between just 2019 and 2024. White replacement is real, you guys, I'm trying to tell you. According to a 2024 report from the Strata Institute for the Future of Work and the Burning Glass Institute, 52% of recent four-year college graduates within 1 year of graduation are underemployed, meaning they work in jobs that typically do not require a bachelor's degree, which means they can't get a good job. 10 years after graduation, 45% remain underemployed. But let's flood our universities and workforce with more foreigners. There are 600,000 Indians here on H-1B work visas, and we know that the tech companies are fighting tooth and nail to get more of those in here too. They apparently have a lot of power in our government now, so that'll be in addition to the 600,000 new Chinese students. It's seriously time for white people to start standing up for ourselves, because we will soon be eradicated in this country. If you haven't realized that it doesn't matter who's in office, this is still what's about to happen, you should.
So, I mean, those are some pretty shocking numbers. From 2019 to 2024, the percentage of white students in universities dropped 15%. That's pretty crazy. And they were already a minority, even though they're the majority population in America. And you go and look at some of the numbers, especially in terms of like the topic of discussion now, which is anti-Semitism on college campuses. And they're, you know, writing these laws that stop all discrimination in DEI, except for Jewish students. And you look at a place like Columbia University, 25% Jewish. 25% of Columbia University. So I wonder, are they being counted under white? I mean, how bad is the problem really?
Every person buying anything at the AlexJonesStore.com, ultramethylene blue, a t-shirt, a ball cap, any of it, gets put in 50 times into the sweepstakes lottery from this Friday to next Friday to win the super amazing Gladiator Jeep. And I mean, this, I've been driving this some. It is badass. And $20,000 cash prize as well. And this Jeep is a $70,000+ value, and people love it. I love every few months when the winners come in, like we had a lady in last week, getting to meet them. It's just, what amazing folks. But when people win, they get the call, they don't believe it. So, again, it's fun, but here's the other part of the sale. Everything in the store is additional 25% off on top of the sales that are already there. And listen, we can't do these 50% off sales very often anymore because there's just not even that much markup. 25% is a massive discount, but we need funds to operate in our legal battles and all the rest of it. So you've got, starting today, Friday, August 22nd, 7 days to be able to get 50 entries to win in the lottery. That only happens the first few days of the event and then the last week. And I forgot what the crossover is. There's only this short period when we're doing these offers where you can be put in to win both, because I hadn't announced that. Next Friday, 7 days from now, it closes out on the amazing Jeep supercharged winch, just fully loaded, totally badass. I mean, this is amazing. It's hard to let it go. And you get put in for this 1 week only with 50 time entries in both the new C8 Corvette Stingray with 6.2 V8 engine, rockets from 60 miles an hour in 2.9 seconds, and features a Bose 14-speaker system. It just goes on and on. And listen, yeah, that looks like the ultimate midlife crisis car. And in fact, it makes me want to have one. It is awesome. Also be a great car for a sexy lady out there. Or you just get the car like some winners do and then just sell it. So you can get both the Corvette and the Jeep Gladiator. This week's the only week, because the sweepstakes ends next week for the Gladiator. But during this week, you get put in on the front end, 50 time entries on the Corvette. So this is the time to go there and get a ball cap, get a Gulf of America t-shirt, get some of the ultramethylene blue, and get an additional 25% off, and get put in to win both of these amazing Americana vehicles at the alexjonesstore.com. Thank you so much. Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. Show's tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Says the American Journal. So yesterday, Trump made this sort of off-the-cuff statement about China. And it's sort of a constant cycle that you engender with Trump, where he says something insane. Sane people say that's crazy. Why is he saying that? And then you get a bunch of Trump's, like, MAGA diehard supporters being like, you don't understand. He didn't really mean that. And it's like, okay, did he though? Did he not? Is this negotiation? So it's like, okay, so I guess the strategy is we just have like an insane person in the Oval Office that just says things and it doesn't really matter and they don't mean anything. And we might as well just ignore everything he says or just take it all totally unseriously because none of it's real. And just sort of happens over and over. I mean, the first example I can think of in this administration is him being like, yeah, America is going to take over Gaza. We're like, what? Nobody wants that. And it's like, well, he didn't really mean that. It's like, then why did he say it? I mean, just what is happening here? Why can he not just say what he's going to do and then do it? It's like, well, he's always negotiating and it's like, But what is the benefit of any of this? So is he really going to let in another 600,000 Chinese students? And what is the benefit of that? And so I repost this just saying, you know, Trump sucks now. He sucks. We've tipped over the point. I mean, there was a while where what he was doing was good. And it was like the first 3 days of his administration. Excellent first 3 days, more or less. Pardoned January 6ers. He shut down the border. And those were good. And those were good things. The tariffs haven't been too bad either. But then slowly, bit by bit, it became about 50-50. And I was like, all right, well, we're getting deportations, but also he's creating anti-Semitism laws. It's like, all right, we got half good, half bad. And at this point, we've basically the scales have tipped. And I more or less disagree with like 90% of what I hear him say. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not in favor of making it illegal to burn the American flag. I'm not in favor of sending federal troops to patrol American cities. I'm not in favor of anti-Semitism laws. I'm not in favor of, you know, whatever the hell's going on with Russia and Ukraine. Now apparently America's guaranteed security for Ukraine for the foreseeable future. I'm not in favor of that. I'm certainly not in favor of 600,000 Chinese students. I mean, this sucks. I know Alex is getting a bunch of information about, you know, things that are happening in the background and that, you know, indictments are coming. And I frankly feel the same way about that I did about QAnon stuff. I know even like listening to Alex, he's like, this is not QAnon. I'm not just saying this. I have inside sources. And it's like, okay, but to me, the feeling is the same, which is if it happens, then I'll be happy about it. But it's like, but I'm not going to behave in a way as if that's a foregone conclusion. I just don't know if it is. So when it happens, great. But it's like, until it happens, I'm not going to give any credence to it. There's been a lot of talk. There's been a lot of promises. There's been a lot of statements made from a lot of people in the Trump administration. I don't even know necessarily they're lying or they just don't know what the hell is going on, but it's never true. So, like, until we actually see it happen, until the indictments actually come, until these people are actually in handcuffs, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. You know, if we're traveling down the road, when indictments happen, that's a fork in the road. That is a, okay, now things are happening. Now I can, you know, put my faith behind this. But it's almost like, all right, so, you know, the option is either believe that Trump has all these indictments coming down the pipe and we're about to see justice for all the crime that's taken place. Or you can believe that nothing's happening. But it's like, okay, this is a fork in the road that just joins up again. It just sort of divides for a second, then goes right back in. Because what are you going to do differently on the assumption that the indictments are coming? Like, if they're coming, great. We'll wait to see. But how am I supposed to, you know, take that into geopolitical, you know, calculus if it hasn't happened yet? It has to happen first. And then we'll celebrate it. I just can't celebrate something happening that hasn't happened yet. If that makes sense. That's how I feel about it. So again, what is he doing? And is he just being played completely by other people or is he in on it? Because right now that's kind of the only options for me. Because he is putting National Guard on the streets of American cities, which is not the only way to deal with this problem. I mean, the obvious way to deal with it is to withhold federal funding until they get their, you know, crime situation under control. Like right now, we've got stories where it's the Chicago mayor or the Illinois governor Pritzker saying, you know, Donald Trump better stay out of our city. It's like, then you have to clean up the crime. If you do it, then nobody else has to do it. You are the one responsible for law enforcement in your city. Enforce the law and nobody will have to step in. If you don't enforce the law, then somebody has to step in. This is really not complicated at all. And I wish they would, because I don't want the precedent being set that the United States president can deploy National Guard on American soil, because you know how that will almost entirely, primarily be used. So he makes this statement, utter nonsense, 600,000 Chinese students, just absolutely horrible for America in every possible way, forcing American students to compete against the world for spots at universities that'll be given to them, you know, given over to the foreign students before it goes to America, because you can charge foreign students more, so it's more profitable for them to do that. So then they're taking a spot in our universities. Then either they go back home and just take that education with them, and America gains nothing from having educated them here. So it really is like a double whammy. We're going to be, you're disadvantaging the American students, so they're not getting the education that they should. And then American industry is going to be short 600,000 professionals who I guess will have to import those also. I guess, you know, that'll just be replaced by foreigners too. What is the benefit here? What exactly is the argument? And I'll tell you, I was racking my brain yesterday trying to figure out what the hell justifies this, because as far as I can tell, nothing does. And what Howard Lutnick went on Laura Ingraham to say was the purpose behind this was crazier than I could have possibly imagined. This is the worst argument I've ever heard for a government policy. I'm like shocked that this is legitimately their excuse for why Trump is saying we need 600,000 Chinese students. It's just crazy. And then the explanation is even crazier. Clip number 11, here's Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick explaining why we need 600,000 Chinese students. Wrap your mind around this one.
It's very important.
Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, how is allowing 600,000 students from the communist country of China putting America first?
Well, the president's point of view is that what would happen if you didn't have those 600,000 students is that you'd empty them from the top, all the students would go up to better schools, and the bottom 15% of universities and colleges would go out of business in America. So his view is he's taking a rational economic view, which is classic.
I think we should pause this. I think we need to remind it. So what he just said is that if we don't allow in 600,000 Chinese students, the bottom 15% of American colleges will go bust. So their plan is to pack the top universities with Chinese students, forcing American students to go to less qualified, you know, less good universities to keep them afloat while the Chinese students take all of the positions at the higher value universities. What the hell are you talking about, Howard Lutnick? Let's back it up and hear this argument again. So the argument is, if we don't allow Chinese students to take the top spots at our top universities, the bottom 15% of universities will go out of business because American students will go to those top universities instead. So they want to bring in 600,000 Chinese students to push down American students to less qualified universities. What the hell type of argument is this? Again, if this was just like, well, it's all just trade negotiations and he's saying this, but in return, we're getting all this other stuff. No. This is an absurdity. This is absurd. Absurd. Okay. Let's go back to Howard Lutnick, please.
The communist country of China putting America first.
Well, the president's point of view is that what would happen if you didn't have those 600,000 students is that you'd empty them from the top, all the students would go up to better schools, and the bottom 15% of universities and colleges would go out of business in America. So his view is he's taking a rational economic view, which is classic Donald Trump, looking at higher education and saying,
but why are you
until
helping
we
Harvard?
Modify that.
That just
What's
helps
that?
Harvard and UCLA and UCal Berkeley and I mean, y'all helping those schools. Why? They're like, basically factories of anti-American propaganda. Now they're getting a big influx of cash because of the Chinese students. I mean, I know President Trump has always been very pro-Chinese student. I just don't understand it for the life of me. Those are 600,000 spots that American kids won't get.
It is literally absurd. It makes absolutely no sense. Even if the argument was true, it wouldn't make any sense. How is the continuing existence of, like, failing universities the priority here? I mean, it's like taking the argument of, like, GDP over human lives to the extreme. It's like, what is the point of the economy if not to uphold the students? What is the point of the American universities if not to educate Americans? But you're going to stop educating Americans to uphold the universities whose whole purpose is to educate Americans. This is stupid. This is so stupid. It's like impossible to even comprehend just how stupid this is. MAGA rages over Trump's Chinese student numbers. Should never allow that. And, you know, it is important that we not support this stuff. It's important that you sound off against this stuff because we are slowly but surely pulling the Republican Party with us. People who just a few months ago were calling you racist for not wanting H-1B visas are now anti-H-1B visas because they've seen how furious this makes everybody. And there's very good reason that we should be against all of this. And they're doing it in trucking. They're doing it in our education system. Canada's even worse, really in a significant way. And at every pass, the native people of this country are being discriminated against severely, like very, very, very badly in a variety of different ways. Do you know that, you know, Indians in Canada, if you employ an Indian person in Canada, the Canadian government pays 30% of their salary? So you can't compete against this. I mean, getting a job now is like trying to buy a house against when you're bidding against BlackRock. It's like you can't bid against BlackRock. They're going to outbid you, and they're going to outbid you in cash. So where is the protection for the American consumer? Where is the protection for the American student or the American worker? We can't compete against a multinational corporation that's going to outbid us by $100,000 and pay in cash on demand. So what are we supposed to do here? There's nothing I can do as an individual. You cannot possibly provide so much value to a company that it's worth a third of your salary, you know, extra over somebody else who gets 30% of their paycheck paid for by the Canadian government. Just completely disadvantaged at every possible pass. Disadvantaged in the, you know, college process, application process. Disadvantaged once you're in college. You're having to work harder to get the same grades. Disadvantaged once you're in the employment line and trying to get a job. Because we've systematically encouraged and incentivized discrimination against white people and against Native Americans of any race, color, or creed continually. What are we doing here? I mean, there's no argument for this. At the end of the day, it is just pure racial domination, basically, over white people. And it's completely insane. And we'll get to, you know, what's happening in Europe. Maybe we just should, because I got so much from that.
Yeah, I got so much.
So obviously there is an awakening happening in the UK right now, but I'm having trouble getting too excited. After all, it was last summer around this time that the murder of the little girls of the dance class and the Southport riots happened. And the outcome of that was not a reversal of policy from the British government. It wasn't a widespread and sustained protest movement that actually succeeded in getting change. No, it was a couple of, flare-ups of protest and then a mass incarceration campaign throwing mothers and fathers in jail for years on end for tweeting about the riots that were happening down their street. And so are we just seeing a repeat of that, or is this something else? What's happening right now is people are hanging national flags like the flag of St. George, like the Union Jack, as we know it, the Union flag, a jack is a naval flag, is a combination of, you know, the various kingdoms of the United Kingdoms, right? So you've got the St. Andrew's cross with the blue, with the white X, that's Scotland. And you have the St. George cross, which is the white with the red cross, almost Nordic looking. That's the English. And you've got the Welsh flag, which has a dragon on it. I think one or two more. And you combine those all and you get the Union Jack. But the St. George flag is the flag of the English. National flags started lining our street. They may say something more. Well, it's an act of rebellion. St. Patrick's flag is the red X. And combine those together, you get the Union Jack, which is sort of the imperial symbol of the United Kingdoms. And so people are hanging this, and of course, bizarrely, almost typically, you have British leftists tearing these flags down. And we're getting video after video now, not just people hanging these flags, but also the people tearing them down. And they're exactly who you expect them to be. We'll go to clip number 25 first. White British women tear and trample the English flag. We can watch that. And of course, it's no surprise, they are, not the most attractive ladies, let's just say that. Not the most ladylike individuals. Not the daintiest specimen. No, they're actually just disgusting weirdos. So you've got the disgusting weirdo contingent of the British public, you know, rebelling against their own ethnicity, their own history, wearing a Mickey Mouse shirt with a lesbian haircut, stomping the English flag and feeling so powerful in this. Such a powerful thing to do. Betray your own people, despise your own family and heritage and history. I mean, really, they have really dehumanized these people to a really sickening degree, to where they themselves are like celebrating and having fun destroying their own people. It really is sick. Clip number 7 here. We'll go to this with audio because there's a, well, in the video, it calls him a vile traitor, vile traitorous scum. And it's a leftist who's literally hiding in the mud, laying in a bush after having torn down a English flag when they're confronted with a British patriot. And this really is, I mean, you want a visual of the dichotomy here. There's English lads going around hanging up flags, and then there's overweight lesbians and, like, weird sort of nerdy hippie twinks hiding in bushes trying to tear them down, running away whenever they get confronted. People are, yeah, traitorous cowards. Let's watch.
This is what our country's coming to. Look, lefties hiding in the garden, cutting our flags down. What are you hiding in there for? What are you hiding in there for, you little mug? Hey? What are you cutting our flags down for? We put them flags up to protect our women and kids. And you're walking around here, you long-headed off! Go on! Get!
And he literally runs away.
Come around here again, get your ass kicked, you mug!
I mean, I gotta say it's the appropriate reaction. It's certainly the appropriate reaction. This long-haired hippie dude literally hiding in the mud and then running away as soon as he's found out. Has no argument, has no, you know, thing to say about this. Just thinks he's upholding his liberal world order that he's a slave of. And it really is despicable. It's happening across the UK. Of course, it got a lot more attention with this viral video of the two little girls holding knives and axes to defend themselves against the migrants. We'll show you that video in just a little bit. But let's just go to clip number 12 here. This is, again, just what's happening to the British people. Or the British Isles. This, in this case, it's an elderly Irish woman talking about what's happening to her despite never doing anything to anybody. Let's go to clip number 12.
I'm 62 years of age, and I have paid rent without bother for 23 years to the one family, and I got in the post a couple of weeks ago, just a form that says you have a no-fault eviction. This week I rang 12 auctioneers in the locality. Not one has a house to rent to an Irish family, nor have they got a derelict cottage that could be bought with a small bit of land. I'm not only losing my home, my three adult sons are. This is something that is affecting people everywhere. There are people going to county councils and saying, I've got a house to rent, I want the HAP. And the county councils are ringing the landlords that are giving these houses to the Irish and saying, you can come into the office today and we will give you €8,000 today. And every month thereafter, we will give you €4,000 in rent. They are trying not to rent any houses to the Irish.
Ireland is under siege for mass immigration. Stand tall. Get in the fight. Click below and join with Sheila Heron today.
So that's the Irish Nationalist Party ad. And again, what is the justification for this? What is the benefit for the Irish people to this? There is none. No, they're actually just importing millions of military-aged men, putting them in the security services, putting them in the Garda or the National Police, so that they can be armed and, you know, physically shut down any peaceful attempt by the Irish to stop these military encampments being built in their backyards. I mean, it seems like Ireland is sort of the epicenter of this. It seems like the British and the UK are sort of too far gone, and they succeeded in their very slow drip operation of just slowly but surely filling up entire neighborhoods in the UK of foreign interlopers. They're doing it a little bit quicker in Ireland. They're a little bit later, you know, off the mark. And so they're trying to make up for lost time and doing it with extreme rapidity. And of course, Ireland is the place that resisted UK imperialism or English imperialism for hundreds of years. Before this, I would think Ireland would be the place where the fight back would begin. And I genuinely want to go like run guns to them. Help them fight this off, because it is a full-on invasion happening there. We'll get into it more on the other side, because it gets absolutely insane. I also need to tell you about some of the sales at thealexjonesstore.com. I didn't do that all this hour. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and tomorrow only. You get a free $10 with any order. No minimum spend required, just a free $10 on us. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. I'll tell you more about some of the big sales on the other side. But stay tuned. We're going to get into the UK and how it's being invaded.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at Point Blank Range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Warren Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh, God, he really did need help. Oh, yeah. We have been battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go. And I stayed here and slept here a couple times. We're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month. See it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend in the store. Sales on top of everything. Special deals. Special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. I mean, it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I won't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire. and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you.
All right, welcome back, folks. That I have covering this is it's so crazy. It's so overwhelming. It's so ubiquitous and everywhere and happening in a variety of different ways. But I feel like it's hard to just get across the feeling I get just scrolling through Twitter and taking it all in. You just absorb it all and let it soak into you, and you really... There's no other word for it than there's a genocide taking place. It's a slow burning genocide, but it's really undeniable how sort of vicious and hateful are the attitudes against white people. So, like, we can go to clip number 14 here. This is a Indian rapper music video. This is a guy who... He's Indian, but he went to Canada, became a rapper, and he made a music video. And not to do the whole, like, imagine if it was the other way around argument, but just imagine. Not because, like, oh, imagine how mad people would be. You're about to see a video of an Indian guy making a music video where he's just going around beating the crap out of white people. Okay? So you can say, like, okay, imagine the outrage if there was a white rapper that made a music video where he's just going around beating the crap out of minorities. All right, the outrage would obviously be overwhelming. That's not my point. My point is, imagine the mindset of the person that's making this video. Like, try to put yourself in the mindset of somebody that would go to a different country and then make a video explicitly about wanting to kill the people of that country. Like, think about who these people are, what's in their mind, and understand that any sympathy, empathy, or, you know, understanding towards these people is suicidal. There's nothing good or kind about allowing these people into your country when this is how they think of you. Let's go to clip 14 now. He's wearing a jacket that says "Home is Canada." He's coming up on some white people who aren't bothering anybody, and he just starts beating the crap out of them. Now, who knows what he's saying? He's talking in some sort of gibberish language, so we don't actually know. But I think I can get the message. I think I can clearly get the message. Yes, he's beating up the white guy. Now, there's a little bit of a twist to this. Apparently this Indian guy, they called him the, like, Punjabi Tupac or something stupid. But he's apparently a pretty popular rapper. Sarah Stock at Sarah C. Stock on X wrote, "I've been informed this rapper was actually killed by gunfire and is now basically known as the Punjabi Tupac. The wild part is this photo was hanging in the truck of the driver that killed three white Americans. You can see it swing into view in this still." So she has this image of this rapper holding an AK-47, and it's apparently a promotional picture that the guy who killed the family in Florida, by doing the U-turn in front of him, he's got this guy's, you know, promotional material hanging from the rearview mirror of his truck. And so you've got a Indian rapper in Canada making music videos.
I think that's a concert badge. Like, he got it for going to one of his shows.
Like, he went to one of these guys' concerts,
yeah,
and hung it up. Yeah, so he's a fan. He's a fan, right? And so now you've got, like, a million plus signatures on a petition to try to get America to drop charges for the guy that killed an American family by pulling an illegal U-turn in a truck that he was not legally allowed to drive in a country that he's not legally permitted to be in. And he apparently is a big fan of this rapper who makes explicit content about taking over Canada and beating up Canadians.
I'm so sorry to cut you off, but according to Wikipedia, he is the Eminem of Indian rap. He's not just your average Punjabi.
He's Eminem. He's Tupac. He's
Indian Tupac.
Man, if Eminem wasn't bad enough, make him Indian? I mean, good Lord. Okay, so in the song, he's singing about the superiority of his ethnic group. He's beating up white Canadians. So you've got these people just seething with hatred of white people in our country, you know, slamming into a family and killing them all.
The ancient blue wizard is who I be. The magic of Methilene flows through me. His wars of info have gone through the ages to keep your minds locked in cages. Break free from the lies and save your soul, or the demonic agenda shall reach its goal. Upon this field, with steel in hand, I guard the truth across the land. No tyrant's crown, no foreign laws shall pierce the shield of InfoWars. This dagger's point, both sharp and true, defends the rights for me and you. So grab your phone without delay, and go to the website if you may. Order your dagger to stand in the fight before the globalists turn out the lights.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. I really do have so many videos to show you. I mean, some are so long, but I think they're worth it. So we'll go to some of these before really getting into what I think is almost has to be like a watershed moment. The video of these Scottish girls, 12-year-olds, defending themselves from migrants with an axe and a knife, who have now been arrested. So, again, we'll get into that. Let's just cover the waterfront here. Let's go to clip number two here, talking just about, in general, the completely, just insanely tyrannical anti-speech laws in the UK. Let's watch.
The UK is currently arresting an average of 30 people per day for things they said online. That's not a free country. Like, you don't have freedom of speech. You don't have freedom of expression. You don't have freedom. You're living under an oppressive regime. I'm sorry, if 30 people per day are being arrested for shit they said online, the vast majority of them just for criticizing immigrants or criticizing the government's decisions, you're not a free country. The UK has fallen. Now, on paper, sure, you look like a free country. You look like you have freedoms to do what you want and say what you want, but you're not. Sorry, you're just not. You cannot be arresting 30 people every fucking day for saying something criticizing the government online and call yourselves a free country. Like, everybody loves to talk about how oppressive
Russia
is. All
right, so 30 people arrested a day. It's more than are arrested in a year in Russia. Let's go now to oh, man, I got some crazy videos. Well, let's go to clip number 20 first. This is, again, the way that this visa system, and, you know, I hate to say it like this, but it's absolutely true. Europeans, I really don't think they understand the mindsets that they're dealing with. I mean, we've talked about this over and over again. I especially like bringing it up when it's things like the Swedish government telling Syrians that they'll pay them $30,000 to go home. It's like, you don't understand. These people are going to take that $30,000. They're going to go home for a week, and then they're going to come back, and then they're going to do it again and again and again, collecting $30,000 every 2 weeks until you people catch on and cut this off. Because Europeans have a tendency to follow rules and to, like, obey the strictures or requirements as laid out by law, in the spirit of the law, not by the letter of the law. There's just sort of, in general, a European mindset. It's like, okay, you know, I understand why this liberty is available to us. We'll be respectful of it, not take advantage of it, so it continues to exist. That's not the mindset of the people they're bringing in. So we're about to hear a story, just one of the, you know, families that the UK is allowed in. And it's like they're giving them access to a system that is not built for people to take advantage of. It's built for people who are respectful and decent and, you know, honorable. And I really don't think, I don't know if Europeans like understand how this is not even immoral to these people. Yeah, I really, really want you guys to understand. So much of what America, which is just an extension of Europe, like the stuff that we believe, you know, we understand why it's better to be the way that we are. But other people just aren't that way. I mentioned it before. I should really grab it in the video. And by, I mean, it's constant. Indian politicians just driving around, just throwing handfuls of cash out to people to vote for them. Like, we would see that as a complete betrayal of the electoral system. Like, we understand that, yeah, it's possible. Okay, we have this vulnerability where, like, you could, you know, if you do it in a clandestine way, pay for votes in this country. And it would destroy the electoral system, because then you're just creating an incentive system where the person who can provide the most money, you can just buy their way into office. Like, it's anathema to our conscience, to our understanding of how these systems work. We would never be okay with that. People in India, in the third world, it's not that they're like cheating and being underhanded. It's just, that's just the way it works there. So it's not even like they're not hiding it. It's not being done clandestinely. They're like, no, this is how it works. I've talked to people from the third world like this that are like, yeah, the guy who pays me the most is going to get my vote. He is obviously the best candidate. It's like, that's just how it works. Like, this is obvious. Why wouldn't you vote for the guy who gives you the most money? He's obviously the most successful person. He's obviously the most generous person. He deserves my vote if he gives me money. And if that guy gives me more money, then he'll get my vote. That's just how it works. And it's like, to us, that's totally, it's like, no, you're just destroying the entire purpose of the system when you're just buying votes from your constituency. But to them, they're making promo videos showing how they're handing out cash, showing how much cash they'll hand out to you. It's not a matter of like they have the same moral system as ours, but they're just like getting away with stuff. It's a completely different moral system. It's a completely different construction of morals and ethics and how things are supposed to work. So this is just another example of that. Let's go to clip 20 here.
Been at home. A single halal butcher sponsored 918 visas between 2021 and 2023. Does that shock you? Well, you might not know the full mind-blowing, truly unbelievable, supposedly skilled jobs list that can get you a visa into the UK. So strap yourselves in, hide your TV remotes, because you're going to internally combust when I read this out to you. Bear in mind, this list gets progressively worse the longer I read it. I've got it here for you. Drama teachers. These are people who can come over to the UK on a skilled worker visa. Drama teachers. Librarians. Social media influencers. Pilates teachers. Yoga teachers. Garden designers. Cycling instructors. Hairdressing and beauty salon managers. Ironically, we've also got careers advisors coming over here. Also, ironically, job center officers, political canvassers. And here is where it really starts to sting a bit. Equality, diversity, and inclusion managers. What sort of skills do they have? Mystery shoppers. And get this. Bingo hall managers. Trolley collectors. The people who take your trolleys outside the supermarket. And tool makers. Although I believe that job may already be taken by somebody. This country has become an astonishing joke. We've been lied to over and over again by politicians who swear they're cracking down on migration, both legal and illegal. The numbers are coming down, they say. But somehow, trolley collectors are now classified as skilled migrants. So let that sink in. Trolley collectors, skilled workers, on sponsored visas. Our elected officials are laughing at you and me. Instead of training or hiring British people, they're importing foreign labour for jobs any one of us could do. They are undercutting wages and turning this country into a cheap labour market.
And of course, what he's pointing out is that while they might, you know, be saying, well, we're going to stop bringing in low-skilled people, all they're doing is reclassifying low-skilled labor work as high-skilled labor work so the importation can continue and they can keep lying about it. And then you've got the whole chain migration thing where, in this case, one halal butcher sponsors 918 visas. Now, that's not somebody who's coming to a country, is appreciating the chance that they're giving him, that's, you know, working for the betterment of the, that's, it's just an invasion. It's somebody going in and realizing I am now a distributor of visas for this foreign country. I can now import 1,000 of my friends and family, or 100 of my friends and 1,000 of their friends and family into this country. I can now be a vector of invasion to legally circumvent the restrictions for immigration. So you've got the small boats coming across that are not being stopped. In fact, are being facilitated and basically handed to the migrants. Just today, they sent a professional photographer out to capture like the one or two children that are swimming out to the boat because the media is there to portray the people crossing into the English Channel, crossing the English Channel on these small boats as just poor, innocent refugee children trying to get safety. And it's like, well, they're in Calais. They're in France, so they're perfectly safe where they are. They're mostly adult men, but they've sent professional photographers and maybe children, you know, model children to go act like, you know, this is a humanitarian catastrophe to get the images pulling the heartstrings of leftists to make them accept their wholesale genocide and eradication and the invasion, bringing all of that about. So you've got them coming across in the small boats, not being stopped, being imported. You've got low-skilled workers being given high-skilled visas, despite doing things like pushing shopping carts through parking lots. Then you've got the people that do come over and start a business, become vectors of invasion, handing out thousands of visas to their friends and family to come over. So they're not going across the boat and they're not, you know, being imported into the refugee, hotels. But they're still getting over. Yeah, this is one of the images where it's like migrants brave waters as they try to get to the boats. It's like, okay. I mean, this is a Hollywood production. It's completely fabricated. It's completely insane. Let's go to clip number four here, where again, they're pulling on your heartstrings and making you the useful idiots, facilitating your own destruction. Let's watch.
You're not doomed yet, but, and in all of world history, there has never been a civilization that has so opened its doors to another civilization that is openly hostile to it. So this is unprecedented, what's happening. Your ancestors of Europe, when I describe it in my books, because I write about history, fought tooth and nail to prevent Islam from entering and conquering Europe, because that was one of the grand plans that went on for century after century from the East. The Turks were trying to enter Big Constantinople, they surrounded Vienna in 1683. And before that, the Muslims, I told you, went up into Tours in France in 732, 1,000 years later. This was an actual goal. And now Western Europe is saying, oh, none of that matters. It was a misunderstanding. Come on in. But they haven't changed. That mentality, and when I say they, you know, that's obviously I'm simplifying. The mentality that I've described is part of Islam. It's an Islamic concept. So the Islamic State, you're told, oh yeah, they have nothing to do with Islam. They've twisted it. No, they haven't. They are a representation of what Islam, the caliphs, the sultanates, the emirates, that's how they operated. the heads of Islam, the grand imams and the muftis said the same exact thing. Okay, so that is what it is. Again, it's not my point to arguing, oh, well, this particular migrant wants to conquer you. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's looking for a good life. I understand that, and that's what makes it complicated. But to just open your borders completely to that demographic, which has within it, not all of it, but within it, that kernel of animosity for Christians and so-called infidels and the imperative to conquer the world in the name of jihad for Allah, which they're the good guys, keep in mind. They never see themselves as the bad guys. This is one of the issues with all conflicts. They're not bad guys. They're good guys in their mind. You're the bad guys because you're infidels and they're trying to bring the light of Islam to you. So that's another aspect of how moral or the morality that they feel. They're the good guys, okay, in doing this. Because look at you, Denmark and Europe, you're all dissipated drunks and, you know, profligates and, there's no real... I'm sharing with you their arguments because I read it and I hear it. So they're bringing to you goodness, okay? But before, your ancestors, because I guess they had their own social order and their own goodness, and it was called Christianity, were able to fight it. But I guess in this current void of sort of this atheistic climate, anything goes, and who's to say they're wrong? Maybe they're right, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, so we can take it happening. Down, but I mean, it's just, again, it's not even about religion. It's a racial thing. The Indians are being used like a bioweapon at this point. I mean, Japan just announced they're going to open up to 50,000 Indians. The Finland just said they're importing like 1 million Indians. Russia decided to import tens of thousands, I think like 100,000 Indian workers. And again, so is this the construct of the world? Is that India is just going to be this engine of humanity and then their birth rates are incredibly high? And they're just distributed out to the low income places until slowly but surely they're all like, we're just all India. Just everywhere is India. It's all Indian people everywhere. I'll remind you, there's 1.6 billion Indians, 1.6 billion Indians in the subcontinent. There is no shortage of, you could almost at this point, I mean, half the world population is Indian Chinese. If you replaced every person in the world with an Indian or a Chinese person, you would have like that, you could, basically. You could. So what is the point of this? Just what? How is this happening? Why are we being flooded with this biomass? Just endless source of population. While our own populations are going down or not at replacement birth rate. I mean, this is... it's obscene. It's absurd. It's obscene, really, is what it is. Let's go to clip 17 here. This is a caller to Talk TV, Danny from Epson. And, you know, he's talking a little bit more about just the insanity of what Europe is doing to itself. Let's watch.
I just want to say that you were talking about Islamophobia earlier on, and I was sort of thinking to myself, you know, how I think it might be a natural state of mind, because if you think that now in our country, I mean, I'm from London, I'm 47, I grew up in SE21. And when I was a kid, you know, people weren't beaming messages on our Houses of Parliament. We didn't have anti-Jewish and anti-British marches in London. We hadn't imported FGM, honour killing, sham marriage, suicide bombing, the full veil, grooming gangs, all from the Islamic third world. And I think for the past 20 or 30 years, we've been telling our government that we didn't want illegal immigration at all. And we wanted legal immigration cut down to extremely low numbers, because we know on the ground that this is what it leads to. Now the MPs' lives are in danger and they're being harassed. You know, they're kind of catching up with the public. We've seen the degradation. When I was a kid in London in the early 80s, if someone got stabbed or shot, my whole family gathered around the TV. Oh, my God, someone got stabbed in Camberwell. It was a shock.
Yeah.
Now it happens 3 times a day and we don't pay any attention. So we've seen the degradation. We've seen third world immigration ruin the country. If we're looking at crime, for argument's sake, right, homogenous countries, if you look at the Eurostat figures, homogenous countries have the least amount of crime. So Slovenia, Slovakia, Hungary. I think Poland's got the least amount of crime with the least amount of immigration. You can take examples like Japan. Homogenous countries tend to be more unified, tend to have less crime. I think most people in this country are living in a country they didn't want or ask for.
Do you think, where has that come from? Do you think that it's come from, because I've had arguments about this with friends who said, well, actually, you have to blame partly the state for that, because if the state doesn't sanction, if the state doesn't facilitate people integrating and being part of an overriding culture, an overriding feeling of belonging in the UK, then there is some responsibility with the people who move here, but there's also a big responsibility on the state for allowing that to happen. What would you say to that?
Well, I'd say if you were an adult before 1997, which I was in my mid to late teens, I think after that date when Blair got in and intentionally rubbed the noses of the right in diversity, I think after that point, what we invented was multiculturalism, which is a complete lie. What we should be saying at the door, there's two factors. Number one, at the door, this is Britain, this is how we operate. If you don't like it, you don't have to live here, okay? And I think the sheer volumes of people, the sheer volume, we were talking about maybe a quarter added to the population since the early 90s. I mean, you know, if you think about it this way, in 1951, if you look at the census results, 98.8% of the British public were Christian, spoke English as a first language, and were white. Okay, and in less than one man's lifetime, we've had our country completely changed before our eyes, and most people didn't want or ask for it. So no one ever wanted this. I'm from London. I moved out because I didn't want to live there. And most people up and down the country think this way. And also in the last 7 or 8 general elections, one of the top 3 topics on the doorstep has been immigration. We've asked the government for 10, 20, 30 years. We gave them explicit instructions to stop illegal immigration and bring legal immigration down to low numbers. And they've ignored us. Okay. So that's red and blue. So what do we do? How else can we make it clear that we didn't ever want this? How can we were never asked.
I wish you'd called in when Jonathan was here. What an eloquent way to explain how people, did you? We didn't take calls in that hour, so you weren't ignored. I mean, it's a beautiful way of summarizing how people who are actually living outside of the Westminster bubble are feeling, I think.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, really. Most people in the UK, I'd imagine, if we had a referendum, would agree with me. But I'm being ignored, OK? I moved out.
Do you think what's happening on the streets when it comes to the extremism we're seeing in some of that protest, do you think that is how what you're describing has manifested?
Well, absolutely. If you think about it, right, I'm an Englishman that lives in England. I don't know any Israeli Jews. I don't know any Palestinians. I've never met a Russian or a Ukrainian. Why have I got this on my news 24/7? Why are hundreds of thousands of people in my capital city anti-British, anti-Jewish sentiment? I've got nothing to do with it, and I don't want anything to do with it. I don't know why they're protesting in London. If you feel so strong, I like the way that no one ever protested about the Jordanians or the Syrians getting killed. They were Muslims too.
And again, we'll get back to it, but even that phrase, we were never asked, it's not exactly accurate, is it? They were asked. They roundly reject immigration every time they're asked. The European people, every time it's put to a vote, say they want less immigration. Say there's too much immigration as it stands. They don't want any more. That's what Brexit was all about. Brexit succeeded despite all odds because this was the central topic of the decision. Every time they're asked, they say no, but they get more of it, and then they make it illegal to oppose it. This has been the plan in operation for over a decade now. It's far, far past time Europe wakes up to the deliberate destruction of their own country and their own populations. We'll be back on the other side with more. I want to remind you, go to thealexjonesstore.com. It is your last chance to win the Gladiator. It's the Gladiator giveaway blowout sale. Today and tomorrow, get a free $10 with any order at the Alex Jones Store. And with every dollar you spend, you get 50 times the entries to win these vehicles valued at over $150,000 combined. That's the C8 Corvette Stingray and the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. You can win both, but you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. We'll be back on the other side with more. Stay with us.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, the last 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble, Bash, like getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I feel I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up, because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it, because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regressed, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
I'm
right
walking.
Now? Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong. I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly.
Yeah.
Where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down, and I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you
for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks.
We're going to continue to talk about what's going on in the UK in particular, because that seems to be the ground zero for the destruction of the European people. And it's really getting to an absurd degree. So this is the video that went viral, clip number 8. These are two girls in Scotland apparently brandishing weapons, trying to fend off migrants who are filming them. And you can hear the girl say, you know, get away from my sister. She's only 12. And tell me if this doesn't remind you of other videos that we've seen very recently. And we'll connect this to scandals of the likes of Shiloh Hendricks. But here's the video that went viral over the weekend. Let's watch.
Yes, you have a knife. Why you f***ing with us?
Don't touch my sister, she's 12.
She's 12 and you just bastards me,
So, I mean, again, you can hear it in the girl's voice, like just sheer desperation of just get the hell away from us. Leave my sister alone. She's 12 years old. Yeah, that girl's been arrested. Yeah, she has now been arrested. So the girl carrying the knife in the act to defend herself from the adult men harassing her as a 12-year-old, she has now been arrested. Yeah, people are making flags out of the knife in the axe. And this is what this almost has to be like a watershed moment. I mean, how are you going to allow this? So you bring in millions of foreign men who prey on young girls to just a truly unbelievable degree. And then if the girls tried to defend themselves, they get arrested and thrown into prison. Again, do I need to elaborate on this? Do I need to explain? Like, if you don't immediately have a visceral reaction to what I'm telling you, I don't know if you're fully human. Like, if you can't empathize with 12-year-old girls who feel the need to hold, you know, knives they clearly stole from their kitchen and axes they probably took from a woodshed just to defend themselves from Middle Eastern rapists who, when confronted with the knife and the axe, pull out their phone and start filming them to get them in trouble. I mean, is this not at least a little bit reminiscent of the Shiloh Hendricks case? Where again, you've got some foreign rapist man harassing white women and then filming them, putting a camera in their face, knowing that if the white woman actually defends herself or fights back, he can destroy her life. I mean, tell me if these two videos don't strike you as similar in just the language being used by the man behind the camera. And again, it's not a matter of, like, imagine if it was the other way around. They'd be so mad. I mean, that's obvious. We're done with that. I really want you to try to imagine the mindset of the type of person that harasses a woman, and then when she rebuffs your advances or, you know, says a mean word to you, you pull out your camera and are, like, gleeful and eager to destroy their lives. Oh, say the word again. Say the word again. Show me the knife. Pull the knife out. Show the knife again. I'm going to get you on camera with the knife trying to defend yourself so you go to jail. And our systems reward these people, and they do what the people want. Again, just tell me if I'm the only one seeing the connection here. Let's go to clip 10 here. This is Shiloh Hendricks. Just listen to the language of the guy behind the camera and what he's saying as he brandishes the phone in the face of a woman who, you know, had her stuff stolen by a kid at the park. Let's watch.
Did you call him a nigger child? Did you call the child the nigger word? It is my own business. You call him a nigger? Okay, why don't you have the boss to say it right now again? Okay. All right, that's what you say.
He's like laughing. He's like, I got her.
Nobody dig into your
I'm going to destroy your life. All right, just pull it down.
That little kid.
And let's go back to clip number 8. I mean, tell me if you don't see a similarity in this. Clip 8. Let's watch.
You don't
Yes, you have a knife.
Oh, show me the knife. Oh, say the word. Show me the knife. I'm just sure your life for speaking up against me. I'm the master here. They're literally like crying. Get away from us.
Show the knife. Show the knife. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, just where are the men in Scotland? Where are the men who should be protecting these girls in the first place? Now, and there's more to this, by the way. We can bring it down. There's more to this. So this is the update, a little more on what happened. My daughter's friend, who's 13 years old, just got attacked by these two people in, I think it's Iochi. They were trying to chat up this girl's 12-year-old wee sister, so she told them to leave her alone, and these two jumped on her. My daughter was with her friend and called the police. Her friend is 13 years old and in the hospital now. These people now speak with police, but now also conveniently can't speak English. They sure could talk English when they were perving on a 12-year-old girl. So they're trying to, kidnap, whatever, harass a 12-year-old girl. 13-year-old sister comes up, gets attacked, apparently gets put in the hospital somehow. The people that were speaking English when they were perving on the 12-year-old say they can't speak English, so they don't have to talk to the police. And then I guess later, the same little girl decides to arm herself because her friend was put in the hospital, and then she gets arrested for having a knife. Because they film her protecting herself, upload it, and send the Gestapo to go pick her up for daring to, wield a blade against her potential rapist. Now, Elon Musk has commented on this, calling these people traitors to their own people. As Hunter Ash lays out the timeline, creepy migrant approaches preteen girls. Girls pull weapon to defend themselves. Cops arrest the little girl. The de facto policy of the British government is to maximize the rape of British girls and remove any barriers to this happening, including self-defense. Remember, when the little girls would go to the police to report the abuse, the police would engage in the abuse because they have very deliberately put Muslims in charge of the police, who then participate in the rape gangs themselves. So this isn't complicated. You can sort of spiral out into like what the intentions of this are, where it came from and where it goes, and the historical background, all of this. It's not complicated. They just hate white people, and they're just taking over Europe. It really is as simple as that. And they're doing it in a way that is most effective in the modern world, which is to weaponize the suicidal empathy of the Europeans against themselves, infiltrating the systems of authority in these countries, and then allowing their co-ethnics to get away with these crimes. How is this allowed to go on? In every European country at the same time, just sort of degrees of brutality that the native populations are subjected to, and any attempt to fight back against it is criminalized. You can't carry a knife, can't carry a weapon. You'll be the one who's arrested. You can't speak out against these people. You'll be arrested for hate speech. You can't protest against the policies that brought the people in. You'll be arrested for hate speech, or you'll be confronted by the police with a non-crime hate incident, which they have there, meaning that anybody who's offended by anything you may or may not have said can report you to the police. And while it's not a crime, you won't be afforded the right to defend yourself. You are just now a hateful person and may very well have your door kicked in by the British police and your devices seized so they can search for wrongthink. So what's the solution here? You can't protest. You can't fight back. You can't defend yourself on an individual basis. You can't discriminate against the people doing this just to try to separate yourself from them. They're still coming over illegally. They're still coming over legally. Every legal person becomes then a vector for invasion and is able to sponsor the visa ship of 1,000 of their friends and family. They're building barracks all over the UK and Ireland to house thousands of grown men from foreign countries. They're actually going to Pakistan. In the case of the Garda, the Irish federal police are going to Pakistan, making commercials in the Pakistani language, recruiting people saying, come to Ireland and you can join the Garda. You can join the police force that will beat the crap out of the local Irish who are trying to put up barricades to stop the trucks delivering the materials to build the enemy encampments in their backyards. Now, there's a video that's gone viral this morning. I don't actually know if it's real. I really don't even think it's real. Just full disclosure. But apparently this video, this audio came out a while ago and for some reason resurfaced today. And whether or not this is true, I sort of want to play it anyway because it is true. Spiritually, it's true. I don't know. This guy claims to be a whistleblower. I don't know what to make of this video. But you'll see at the end, you know, we'll ask, like, how much worse is this claim that you're about to hear than what we know to be the reality on the face of it? I mean, it's really impossible to overstate just how thoroughly the invasion, the conquering, the white genocide happening in Europe has become. And we'll go to some documents about like the rape gang scandal, which has been going on since like the 50s, by the way. But let's go to clip number 13 here. This guy claims to be a whistleblower who owns a migrant hotel. And again, I really don't buy this. I'll tell you why I don't, but a lot of people are posting this and saying that they think it's real. So we'll watch it. Clip number 13 here.
People of England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, first of all, I want to apologize because I feel I betrayed you. This is going to be very hard for me to do, but it needs to be told. I'm not going to tell you my name. You could just call me the whistleblower because this needs to be told. I own a small bread and breakfast slash hotel on the outskirts between London and Bristol. Exactly where? I won't say. I was commandeered by the office of 10 Downing Street to rehome refugee families. When the first lot of refugees came, there was not one woman, there was not one child. The people that turned up were men from the age of 19 to 30, I would say. I have enough room for about 250 residents. I currently house 150 immigrants. Yes, I did receive quite a large sum of money for doing so. On doing so, the government told me that I had to fire all my staff and they will supply their own. And also that they will supply security guards for the bread and breakfast. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call to say that a large parcel will be arriving sometime this evening. Around about 2:30 in the morning, I received another phone call to say that the parcel has arrived and can I open up the rear servant entrance at the back of the B&B, which I went down and met some army personnel, which kind of surprised me very, very much. The person in charge, I don't know who he was, colonel or whatnot, asked me to show him to a secure room within the B&B, which I did. On doing so, they loaded in roughly between 60 and 70 really big crates. I asked what was in the crates, and I was told that I was not permitted to know. He then handed me a smaller parcel and told me that I will receive a phone call to give me further instructions on what to do and when to open this parcel, which was very strange. So I've had this parcel now for about a week in my office.
And I started talking to a friend of mine, and he said, well, do you know what? You don't know what's inside those parcels. It could be anything. It's your property. Whatever's inside your property, you're in the right to open, and I should have a look what it was. And I was debating about it for a little while, and I thought, you know what? You are kind of right. If it's in my property, I want to know what it is. So I opened the small parcel up, and inside was a letter with a list of names and numbers written next to the name. On realizing that each name on the letter was one of the refugees, and there was a smaller box inside the parcel, I opened that, and there was a series of keys with numbers on. So I went down to the secure lock where these crates were, and noticed that each crate had a number on it and each key had a number on it. So I took two keys for two of the crates, and I opened up the crates. Crate one. There was a load of AK-47 machine guns. Crate two were a number of hand grenades. Now, when I say this, I'm saying this as you could start a new war off with what I was looking at. There was enough ammunition inside one of the crates to easy wipe out my little village. Boom, gone, easy. Now I'm a bit stuck because I don't want these refugees here anymore, but I'm contracted to house them for a period of time. I don't know if I can give the government their money back and tell them to sweep off or not, I don't know. All I do know is, in good faith, I cannot allow these men to have these crates. I am going to move them away from my property to a secure garage that I have not too far, because I'm not going to be responsible for allowing our government to kill us, the innocent people. Because it's obvious to me now that this is their plan.
All right, so again, this video surfaced a while back. He claims to be a whistleblower who owns Migrant Hotel that received a large cache of AK-47s. At the time, it was dismissed as rubbish. Upon hearing it again, I'm not so sure he sounds sincere. What do you reckon? Well, I guess this is sort of where we're at in terms of, like, is this really so far out of the realm of possibility? I mean, look at the rape gangs. If I told you the truth about the rape gangs, it would sound as or more ridiculous than that. Some guy in army fatigues dropping off, you know, crates full of AK-47s to refugee hotels. Maybe it's out of the question, but the fact that there are refugee hotels being stocked with 1,000 19 to 30-year-old foreigners were from a highly militarized culture. I mean, that alone is absurd and obscene. And so you might as well give them weapons. Like, how much of a difference is it really between importing an army and giving the army weapons? Like, they'll get weapons anyway. And then, you know, people are posting all of the various examples of mosques busted in Europe with, you know, military size weapon caches. War grade arsenal of weapons confiscated at mosque in Germany. This is 2016. A weapon depot belonging to radical Islamists was found in NRW. The top secret search took place a week ago, and war grade weapons were found. This is reported by the Hessian representative Ismaili Tippi. According to information from the Hessian CDU representative, about a week ago, a top secret search by SEKS in North Rhine-Westphalia took place. In the refrigerator room of a grocer vegetable seller located near a mosque, weapons were discovered and seized. Tools of jihad. Shocking police pictures reveal 10,000 weapon arsenal, including howitzers, machine guns, and grenades intended for the hands of terrorists in Europe. That's from The Sun. Islamic extremists hide huge stockpile of weapons near German mosque. Again, 2016. German police raid places linked to suspected Islamist militant, seize guns. That was in 2017. Handout picture shows obtained October 25th, 2017. Shows large amounts of ammunition confiscated in a Tuesday evening sweep of four locations in Berlin. And then you've got these ships apparently, you know, filled with weapons being sent over to the UK. So is it really that far out of the realm of possibility? Is it really such a crazy claim to make? It's like, well, they're bringing over hundreds, you know, really tens of thousands of military-aged men. They're providing them a place to stay and giving them security guards and even, you know, indoctrinating them into the police force. So they are, you know, they are arming the migrants, maybe not directly with crates full of AK-47s, but certainly with a handgun and a taser and a badge. They're allowing them to rape upwards of a million British girls and more or less completely get away with it, because in a lot of cases, the police are in on it. In fact, participating in the rape gangs, because once again, they've taken people from this community and armed and empowered them as the authorities so that they can cover up the crimes of their co-ethnics. But it's outrageous that they would also be arming them. I mean, either all of this is outrageous or none of it is. So I don't know how legitimate that recording is. But this is sort of the situation that we're in where it's like something like that should be outrageous. But then you look at the pattern and you go, well, that's not outrageous at all. It's actually perfectly in line with what we already know about what's going on. During the Southport riots last year, you had mobs of Muslim men with machetes and metal bats and weapons going around. And the police, there's video of police stopping them and going, take the weapons back to your mosque. They don't confiscate the weapons. They don't take them away. They say, take them back to your mosque. We won't search there. So, I mean, is it real? Is it not real? I mean, if it's not real, what's the evidence of that? All right, there's no pictures of what happened. There's no official reports of what happened. But then you put yourself in the mindset and you go, okay, if it is real, imagine it's real. Imagine everything you just heard from that is exactly how it happened. Imagine you're, you know, the operator for a hotel that gets a contract from the British government to house refugees. And imagine somebody in military fatigues does drop off crates and ask you not to look at them. And when you do, there are guns. I mean, what do you do? What would you do? Yeah, review as police in liaison is filmed telling group to discard weapons in mosque. So a little British girl, a little Scottish girl defending herself against migrant harassment gets arrested. The grown men walking around with machetes looking for people to kill, they're politely asked to go back to the mosque. No arrest, no confiscation of the weapons. Is it really out of the realm possibility that weapons are being staged for a full-fledged takeover? I think they're realizing they just don't need the weapons. They have the numbers. They'll just elect themselves and take control of the weaponry legitimately.
I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at thealexandthestore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? Why do you got that email? And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum. And it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients, and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular Recovery and Defense Matrix. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. Immune support, natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle Recovery Aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and Energy Balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens, no caffeine crashes. Toxin Defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals, enhance nutrient absorption, improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third hour of American Journal is on. Unfortunately, Rex Jones is not going to be able to join me in studio today. But we're going to get into some political news here in America, some troubling developments. The latest is that somebody very high up in the Fed has been removed by Donald Trump, and they're very angry about this. Here's Alex Jones commenting on the situation.
Well, last night, Trump fired the private Federal Reserve Board Governor Lisa Cook, citing the overwhelming evidence that his task force already has of mortgage fraud by her. And they're going after all these people. They're going after them for income tax evasion, you name it. The grand juries are open. They're open in Pennsylvania. They're open in Virginia. They're open in Missouri. They're open in New York. They're opening up in Florida. And I've got that right from the head of the task force. They're open. And the subpoenas are going out, and the grand juries are convening as we speak. And this is Trump taking the gloves off. The EU private central bank owns the majority of the Federal Reserve. That's on record. They've gotten interest rate cuts. We haven't. And we need interest rate cuts. And in the past, they gave massive interest rate cuts to Democrats. This is an attack on the economy, on the housing market, on everybody. Trump's recovery is barely working and would supercharge if they did this. So he's going to bat for America. It creates a constitutional crisis. He really can't fire her because it's a private Federal Reserve. But Congress can revoke its charter, but he's bringing it to a head to point all this out. So Trump is hitting on all cylinders when it comes to taking on the deep state compared to what he did 8 years ago. It took months to get the task forces set up to vet the people, thousands of them. It's now rolling. It's now happening. That said, I'm going to do another video on Trump's executive order, a year in jail for burning a flag, 100% unconstitutional, 100% violation of the First Amendment, and then they could ban burning Israeli flags or banning, you know, the Union Jack flag or banning a Dallas Cowboy flag. It's just like banning the word N-word, which I don't want to use, but if you ban that, then it's everything else, like mother and father at the hospital. So you can't use that. It hurts people's feelings. This is bad. This is the ADL, all of these groups that want this. So that's bad. ICE stuff, National Guards, non-constitutional, that constitutional lawyers on, you name it. That's all cut and dry. His plan to send American citizens to El Salvador, totally illegal. So everything they're saying he's doing that's a police state isn't, but these things are. Okay? Those ideas are horrible, but he didn't sign an executive order on shipping American citizens to El Salvador. He just talked about it. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. This, though, this flag burning executive order is completely illegal and unconstitutional. And now people are going to burn flags. They're going to get arrested. And Trump's going to get a bunch of losses out of this. And it's just whoever advised him to do this is really stupid. It's why he needs to explain the First Amendment to Trump again. But that said, he's going to battle the Federal Reserve. So more power to him. But the games begin. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. 11 a.m. this morning, I'll be going live with massive news. And Harrison Smith's about to go live at 8 a.m. Find out at Infowars.com/show. And again, Real Alex Jones on X live feed.
So that's Alex just talking about some of the moves Trump is making. Abolish the private Federal Reserve. Now, that is the head of the head of the snake in so much. Practically all of our problems are downstream from our insecure and truly fraudulent money supply. So it's good to see Trump going after that. But again, I'm just, I don't know. 90% of what Trump is proposing these days, I'm just against. I'm just against the flag burning. I'm against the deployment of federal, soldiers to American streets. I'm for prosecuting mortgage fraud, and that seems to be just one of the things that they all tend to do. They all tend to just take that little shortcut, try to get just a little bit better rate on their mortgage, despite all of them being multimillionaires. They just can't help themselves. I mean, it truly is something like genetic, intrinsic to them. Pavlovian almost. It's like they see a chance to, you know, break a rule and benefit somehow, they're gonna do it. They can't help themselves. They need our help. We need to treat them. We need to put them in treatment facilities until they can get better. Stop being criminals.
I'm coming to defeat you, evil scum. I'll defeat you, globalists.
I've been waiting a long time for this, Alex.
AlexJonesStore.com. And by the way, today is not just the anniversary of the Black Lives Matter riot that ended in a spectacular fashion when Kyle Rittenhouse killed several pedophiles who were trying to kill him. Raw Egg Nationalist posted this. Crazy. It's been 5 years now since Kyle Rittenhouse ran a gauntlet of Antifa out to murder him, shot and killed two felons, one of whom was a pedophile, and blew the bicep off another in a one in a million shot seated on the floor. Legend. Thank God this situation turned out the way it is. Thank God Kyle Rittenhouse had the self-control to fire only when necessary, only when being attacked, in a way that, of course, allowed him to be vindicated and cleared of all charges, as he was the one under attack and defended himself expertly, incredibly, in an incredibly skilled way. I also personally, it's the 5 year anniversary of, one of the things I'm most proud of in my career here. We didn't have American Journal at that point. So it was the very next day I went on the War Room with Owen Schroyer. I'd been up all night. I think I'm wearing a hat in the clip because I'm just like, I don't have time to get my hair under control. Because we stayed up all night gathering all of the footage and laying out the timeline of the Kyle Rittenhouse case in perfect clarity, showing exactly what happened, showing who attacked first, where and when Kyle was forced to respond, how his shots were brilliantly placed to only deal with the imminent threats to his life, including the attack by the skateboard, the attacker with the gun trying to bring it to bear against Kyle's head when he got his bicep blown off, and of course the whole thing starting with Kyle Rittenhouse fulfilling his duty to retreat, running away, trying to escape, being cornered, and again forced to defend himself by somebody who had been threatening him and running around yelling, shoot me, and confronting people with guns the whole night. So while a lot of people, and we've talked about this before, Captive Dreamer, who's a big ex-person, was saying, you know, don't forget, you know, some of us knew, you know, called out Kyle Rittenhouse as being innocent during his trial. Like, we told you Kyle Rittenhouse was innocent about an hour after the event went down. And like, you got to understand, it's kind of a risky thing to do when every mainstream media article, every outlet is portraying what happened as right-wing terrorist goes to Black Lives Matter rally and kills everybody. Like, that's how it was being portrayed. And it'd be very easy to go along with that and to counter signal that. I go, well, we don't like Black Lives Matter, but don't bring a gun and don't, you know, and this is horrible and this kid crossed state lines and whatever else. It takes a lot of, frankly, balls to go out and tell the truth in situations like that. And I'm very proud that we were absolutely, no argument, we were absolutely the first outlet to cover Kyle Rittenhouse in the way that we did, to tell you that he wasn't guilty, to tell you that he was defending himself, to support him with no caveat, with no, well, we'll have to see how this plays out. And, well, I'm not sure. And I can't really, confirm the blah, blah. No, no. We told you the next day, this happened at like 3 a.m. by like 9 a.m, we were on air showing you the footage, cataloging all of it, showing you minute by minute exactly how it went down and exactly how Kyle Rittenhouse was perfectly within his rights, perfectly exercising the Second Amendment, and deserved our full and unqualified support from that moment on. So I'm very proud of being so out in front of that. And we always are. I mean, when we say InfoWars, Tomorrow's News Today, other outlets, even right-wing outlets, even outlets that themselves pride themselves on being ahead of the curve, they're so far behind the curve when it comes to InfoWars because we do not wait for the consensus to arrive. We do not wait for it to be safe to say what the truth is. We just say the truth. And in that way, we make it safe for everybody else to come behind us and tell the truth as well. So thank you for supporting us. That was 5 years ago at this point, and it's really hard to believe time has been flying this quickly. But it's been a crazy couple of years for us, and we will continue to thrive. I was really excited to have Rex here. It's unfortunate that something came up for him, which it always does. He was here yesterday ready to go on because we had a schedule mix-up, and Jeremy Brown was on instead. So it's our fault. It's nobody's fault. But I was happy to have – I wanted to have him in because he's starting to do a bunch of shows, and he's going to be taking over some of the InfoWars broadcasts Sunday evening, and I think he's doing a morning show even before American Journal. So – just know, InfoWars is growing. We have plans. The seeds are germinating, and soon they will bear fruit. So support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com as if you needed more reasons, as if you needed more reasons to support the frankly bravest, you know, media outlet out there that will tell you the truth in an unqualified and unrestricted way, regardless of who likes it and who doesn't. You're keeping us on the air and in the fight and defeating the multi-million dollar case attempting to bring us down, specifically for our support of Donald Trump and our ushering in of the populist revolution currently embroiling not just America, but the world at large. You also get a fantastic product. Also, you're getting massive discounts on those products. Also, every product that you purchase puts you in the running to win one of two really awesome cars, including the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon and a C8 Corvette Stingray and $20,000 in cash. So in case you needed another reason to support InfoWars, in case you needed another reason to go to thealexjonesstore.com, that's like 10. I gave you like 10 reasons right there. I think one is enough. But it is now your last chance Gladiator giveaway blowout sale today and tomorrow only. You're getting a free $10 with any order at the Alex Jones store. No minimum spend required, just a free $10 on us. Plus, it's the final week to win both the 2025 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon and C8 Corvette Stingray and $20,000 in cash at thealexjonesstore.com. Every dollar you spend there gets 50 times the entries to win these vehicles valued at over $150,000 combined. Now, this week's bestsellers include Bovine Colostrum Plus at 50% off when you subscribe. There's a 3-pack of Methylene Blue Tincture at an added 40% off when you get all three of those. The Power Drive Bundle is one of the most powerful combo packs we have, which is Power Plant and Methyl Drive. This combo, both of these have been formulated by Rex Jones to work together and to maximize their efficacy. You get both of those 50% off when you get the Power Drive bundle. The Shilajit gummies are 50% off, as is Ultimate Life Force when you subscribe. This, the cars, though, are really where it's at. The Jeep Gladiator Rubicon has a 3.6 liter V6 engine, and the C8 Corvette Stingray with its 6.2 liter V8 engine rockets from 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. You can win either one of these, and all you have to do is make a purchase at thealexjonesstore.com. And remember, each dollar spent means 50 entries. Go to thealexjonesstore.com now and claim your free $10 before it's too late. And you're getting additional discounts if you're a VIP member. It's just, forget the 360 win. It is a 1080 backflip win for everybody, including whoever is going to win these cars. Somebody's got to win them, and it could be you. All you got to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you and take part in that affiliate link. Now, we do have more. I need to give out the numbers. We have more political news to get to when it comes to America. But I got even more to get to when it comes to the UK as well. So we're gonna keep digging into that just insane series of stories. But the number to dial, if you want to call in, we will be taking your calls on American Journal. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Taking your calls. Mostly we've been talking about what's happening in England, in Scotland, in the UK. As once again, I mean, maybe this will be just the summertime activity for the UK. Just whenever it's summer, little British girls get attacked and raped or murdered or in some other way harassed and offended by the millions of military-aged Muslim men that the government has brought in and is housing on your dime and is giving access to the NHS and all sorts of other government privileges. And then the British people can rise up and riot, and then the British government will crack down on those and throw all the patriots into prison and then continue to import their replacements and cover up the crimes of their little jihadi pets. Obviously, I'm being facetious, but how long can this go on? And what is the end of this? And what is it going to take for one of these protest movements to not end in just the mass arrest of the people peacefully expressing themselves? I mean, we went on and on yesterday about the mother who lost her son because of incompetence at the NHS, only to later be sort of have her PTSD triggered by the horrific attack at Southport, the butchering of little girls. She put out a kind of mean tweet and then was sent to jail for a year despite pleading guilty and understanding that by pleading guilty, she would avoid the more harsh punishment. It's just at this point, like, what do we do? What are you going to do? I mean, if America was at all consistent in its, you know, overseas activities, we would be running guns to the British patriots at this moment. I mean, you tell me how, you know, running guns to the people of Ukraine is any more valid than running guns to the people of the UK. How supporting moderate rebels to overthrow the Assad regime in Syria is any more virtuous or righteous of a, you know, policy than sending guns to the native British and Irish to fend off the full-scale invasion of their islands. I think that's a lot more valid, actually. I think it's a lot more reasonable when talking about people defending themselves against destruction from their own countries. Now, for some reason, James Lindsay is against this. I don't think we need to touch on that, but he, I guess, is shocked at Elon Musk tweeting out the St. George flag. Somebody that, you know, spends all of his time arguing against communism, you would think embracing a national identity in direct contravention to the communist view of the world, you think you would, you know, embrace that, but I don't know. There are weird divisions. There are weird divisions taking place in the right wing these days. Roman Helmet Guy, by the way, has become probably one of my favorite accounts. This guy posts bangers constantly. At Roman Helmet Guy, you gotta follow him. And he makes the great point that St. George and the Dragon is the perfect symbol of resistance to the modern UK. A dragon demands villagers feed it their daughters. Too afraid to fight back, the villagers comply. Every day, another daughter sacrificed until one day, St. George shows up and slays it. Very appropriate, in my opinion. Very, very specific and accurate symbolism for what's happening in the UK right now. Sacrificing their own daughters rather than fight the dragon that's consuming them. You need a new St. George. And again, I mean, I just got on X during the break. Every single post for the first like 100 posts are all about this situation. The little girls in Scotland defending themselves and then being arrested while the privileged, self-important migrant films them knowing that he can weaponize the UK law enforcement against his victims if they try to defend themselves. Just utterly sickening. Again, privilege and, self-importance on display here. From SKS Cartoon, he drew a rendition of this. Why aren't there any men helping us? Britain has no men. We're on our own. And I'm seeing a lot of sort of, cartoon renditions of this little girl with her knife and her axe. And you really have to understand how crazy it is for a little girl in Europe to... I've told the story. When my wife went to... She was my girlfriend at the time, but she was did a semester in Germany. And she carried a knife just because she's American and she was just... I don't know. We just carry knives to defend ourselves. And, like, the people she worked with were shocked. And they were like, oh, my God, like, you can't... Like, they were, like, going to turn her into the police for carrying a knife. It's like a little tiny, little itty-bitty knife I got for her birthday one year. And they're like, it's like crazy to them that somebody would have a knife. And they have all these, like, bend your knife things in England. Like, you've got to understand, for a 12-year-old girl in Europe to feel the need to brandish a butcher knife... You're in an extreme situation here. It's not something that they just do for fun. So you really got to understand just how motivated they are to protect themselves. Other people posting, sort of different versions of this flag, this symbol, which I like that one. Yeah, this is a good one too because it sort of mimics the St. Andrew's flag of Scotland. With the knife and the axe forming the cross there. The other one you were just showing, I kind of like because the style of knife in this image, it looks like a butcher's knife, but actually looks like it's called a sea axe, which was a weapon that the native Celts used against the Vikings when they were raided around the 9th century. It was sort of a symbol of fighting back then. It's called a sea axe, S-E-A-X, and that's that style of knife that it is. So what the girl was using was a butcher's knife, but I like the sea axe symbolism personally. George Alexopoulos at G-Prime85 says, something stands out as I've been rereading Jane Austen. Women just walked around in broad daylight back then. They didn't need to carry axes or anything. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that nuts? Can you imagine a world where girls can just walk around and not be victimized by roving bands of insane people? Yeah, Scottish teenagers leaving home right now. No, you better not. Don't defend yourself. Don't arm yourself. Just let the immigrants have their way with you and accept it, right? Feed your daughters to the dragon. You don't want to piss off the dragon, do you? And there's other just insanity going on. I can't even figure out details about this. Morgoth's Review posted it. A social credit system, but just for white people. The Ministry of Justice is putting out these statements where they're like football fans, restriction zones confining football bans, restriction zones confining them to specific areas, banned from their local pub. We're introducing tougher community punishments for offenders to deter reoffending and force offenders back onto the straight and narrow. So they're basically saying that you're going to be banned from attending soccer matches if you speak out against the migrant invasion. So it is a de facto social credit score. The Ministry of Justice in the UK is now telling their people that if you are involved in a hate crime incident or a non-crime hate incident, in other words, if you express dissatisfaction at your government's policy of importing a million foreigners to rape your daughter, you're going to not be allowed to go to any football matches, not allowed to go to any soccer matches. You're not allowed to leave your ULEZ 15-minute neighborhood zone, and you'll be denied access to things like your local pub. You'll be excluded from social existence in your country if you dare to speak up against the policies of the government that is systematically destroying your people. I'd rather have China's system. I mean, say what you want about the Chinese social credit score. At least they seem to actually punish people that do bad things. I mean, I don't know too much about China, but I think they actually like the Chinese people. And they have a social credit score where it goes down if you question the government or, you know, jaywalk without permission. But are they punishing Chinese people for trying to defend Chinese people? If China ever felt like importing millions of foreigners, which they never have and never will and never should, they care about their continuing existence, would they punish the Chinese people for talking about the crimes that those people commit? Like, how did we go so wrong? The UK is more censorious and more restrictive than Russia, possibly more so than China. I don't know. We don't have the numbers. But they're now implementing a social credit system, but exclusively punishing their native population for speaking out in protest of the government's programs to destroy the native population. So if you're going to have a social credit score, I'd rather have the Chinese one. I'd rather have the one that at least part of the time, maybe accidentally, actually preserves the culture or ethnic makeup of the country, instead of a social credit score being implemented exclusively to do the opposite. How has the UK become somehow worse than China, worse than Russia, worse than any of these places? I mean, hell, the places that these rapists come from all almost entirely have the death penalty for rape. Do you realize that? Like in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, in Bahrain, in Qatar, and anywhere in the Middle East, if you are caught as a rapist, you get castrated and killed. Or you get parts of your body chopped off, like your hand or your arm. Like, do we understand how insane? So in their countries, if you're a rapist, you die. The state kills you pretty quickly with a big sword. Then they come to the UK, rape the kids there, and then the UK government says, well, we can't deport them because if they go back home, they'll be, you know, given the death penalty, and we're against that. It's so mind-blowing. It's so mind-boggling. It doesn't make any sense. Unless you understand, unless you truly comprehend and come to terms with the fact that all of this is in line with policies and procedures and global operations that have been happening for decades on end, generations on end, really, to systematically destroy the genetic, spiritual makeup of Europe, because Europe and the European character is the major barrier to global domination. Europeans developed the concept of individualism and free speech and, you know, freedom, you know, under the law. All of these things developed out of just brutal warfare in Europe over millennia. And it's all going away now. And the people that would uphold it and would value it as their history are being eradicated, and the history is being changed and lied about and distorted beyond recognition. In which case, all of this makes perfect sense. This is not the British just flailing and failing and trying to keep a handle on things and just can't keep. No, they're evil. They're your enemy. they're trying to destroy you, they're succeeding, and then they're making illegal any attempt to stop, reverse, or even slow down their progress. So stop asking permission. They're not asking for permission.
Every person buying anything at the AlexJonesStore.com, ultramethylene blue, a t-shirt, a ball cap, any of it, gets put in 50 times into the sweepstakes lottery from this Friday to next Friday to win the super amazing Gladiator Jeep. And I mean, this, I've been driving this some. It is badass. And $20,000 cash prize as well. And this Jeep is a $70,000+ value, and people love it. I love every few months when the winners come in, like we had a lady in last week, getting to meet them. It's just what amazing folks. But when people win, they get the call. They don't believe it. So, again, it's fun. But here's the other part of the sale. Everything in the store is additional 25% off on top of the sales that are already there. And listen, we can't do these 50% off sales very often anymore because there's just not even that much markup. 25% is a massive discount, but we need funds to operate our legal battles and all the rest of it. So you've got, starting today, Friday, August 22nd, 7 days to be able to get 50 entries to win in the lottery. That only happens the first few days of the event and then the last week. And I forgot what the crossover is. There's only this short period when we're doing these offers where you can be put in to win both, because I hadn't announced that. Next Friday, 7 days from now, it closes out on the amazing Jeep, supercharged, winch, just fully loaded, totally badass. I mean, this is amazing. It's hard to let it go. And you get put in for this 1 week only with 50-time entries in both the new C8 Corvette Stingray with 6.2 V8 engine, rockets from 60 miles an hour in 2.9 seconds, and features a Bose 14-speaker system. It just goes on and on. And listen, yeah, that looks like the ultimate midlife crisis car. And in fact, it makes you want to have one. It is awesome. Also be a great car for a sexy lady out there. Or you just get the car like some winners do and then just sell it. So you can get both the Corvette and the Jeep Gladiator. This week's the only week, because the sweepstakes ends next week for the Gladiator. But during this week, you get put in on the front end, 50-time entries, on the Corvette. So this is the time to go there and get a ball cap, get a Gulf of America t-shirt, get some of the ultramethylene blue, and get an additional 25% off, and get put in to win both of these amazing Americana vehicles at the AlexJonesStore.com. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to go out to your calls now. We got a couple of different topics. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, not just for your supplement needs and merchandise needs. We're coming out with really cool new designs constantly. But if you are perhaps a little British girl and you need to walk to school, might I suggest this very handy dandy migrant defense weapon. Very beautiful knife. You are the Paul Revere, 1776. This is a limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger. And these are still in stock and perfect for a child's hand. We were joking with the crew. We need to do something, some sort of charitable move where it's like if you buy a knife, we'll send a knife to a child in the UK, something like that. With the 1776 logo on there. Joking, of course, but it's your right as an American to have a knife to defend yourself. Because we have, yeah. Spend all your time waiting. If you buy a knife today from thealexjonesstore.com, we'll send a knife to a little girl in need. Every day, little girls are being harassed by Muslim men, and you can make a difference. For as little as $2 a day, you can arm a little girl in the UK and prevent her from being just another statistic. Join now. We'll provide self-defense blades of all sorts. Right now, little girls in Scotland are digging into kitchen drawers or searching through their sheds for sharp implements to defend themselves from the mobs of psychotic Muslims trying to scoop them up after school. Don't make them search for butcher knives or something else that could cut their hands when eventually used. You're going to want to provide them with the safe and effective blades at thealexjonesstore.com. Just one of these blades can prevent innumerable rapes and assaults from grown men. All you need is to defend yourself. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And yeah, this is, hey, if you're really dealing with some diversity, you're going to want one of these guys, all right? Now, these are a little bit bigger. You need a bigger hand. This is for the 13 to 15-year-old girls trying to defend themselves. And it's got the sort of brass knuckle edition here. I mean, this is the real battle dagger. This will stop a jihad in its tracks, okay? Unfortunately, these have sold out. So if you see a knife design that you like at the Alex Jones store, you're going to want to pick it up because these things sell out. And it just feels good to hold. You just get one of these and just grab it. Just try it, Muhammad. So defend yourself today. We as Americans are in full support of, did you hear that? Satisfying attachment. That's the trench knife. Is this still available? Is this available? A slightly different design. I think it's the same design. The Spartan. That's what I have, right? Yeah. Tip of the spear. Look at that. That's available. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Okay. So folks, this is, you're going to want to get the battle dagger for everyday carry. This is walking from, school to the bus stop past the migrant center. You're going to want one of these little knives. But if you're going out to a particularly diverse situation, you're going to want the trench knife, the trench dagger. Either one of these in the hands of a small British girl is worth, a million votes at the EU. All right. One sharp blade in the heart of a migrant. And who knows how many lives you could be saving. So go today to thealexjonesstore.com. Arm yourself and arm the little girls that need it. Just thank your lucky stars you're American, folks. Just thank your lucky stars that not only can women in this country carry around trench knives at their leisure, you could arm yourself with a gun, too, the great equalizer. And, boy, wouldn't things be different in the UK if they had the Second Amendment? Let's not take that for granted, shall we? Let's appreciate the forethought of our forefathers and the fact that, America's Europe, but it's like Europe on hard mode. America's like off the map Europe. Like you take Europeans, you take them out of a little Disneyland fairy tale where they started, send them into the heart of darkness, the brutal winters in the Rocky Mountains. And, you see what humanity's capable of. With that, we go out to your calls now. Let's go to Heather in Oklahoma, who was talking about DEI and some of the stuff that we covered earlier. Go ahead, Heather, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So it's just funny that you're talking about this today when I dealt with this just last night. I'm a psychology student. I'm getting my bachelor's right now. And mind you, I don't want to be a psychologist. My son has special needs, and he's gotten a lot of benefit from full-time ABA therapy. And so I'm wanting to transfer and get my BCBA in applied behavioral analysis and work with kids with special needs. But I have to do this to get to that. But so one of the classes I have to take is school psychology. And in this class last night, and this is the second class we've had, and we talk so much. It's so hard to get a degree in psychology or social work if you're a conservative, because you have to just stomach so much propaganda. Mm. And so they talk a lot about diversity and how important it is. And we were going over these surveys that they send out to school psychologists every 5 years. And it's just like a demographic survey to see what school psychologists look like. And one of the problems is they're supposed to have one school psychologist for every 500 students. And in Oklahoma, we have like one for every 2,200. Mm-hmm. And so they're wanting to like fill those ratios. But the biggest problem, according to my teacher, is that like 80% demographic wise is just white females.
Ugh.
And so that's just like a huge problem, because that's just not what our student body looks like, you know? And we've talked about this for two class periods about how just not good that is. And we really need to get more diversity in there and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I finally said something last night, which I really have to be careful what I say, because I want my teachers to be nice graders. I'm just trying to get through these classes. And I was like, you know, maybe diversity shouldn't be like the top priority. Like, it'd be great if the school psychologist maybe looked more like the student. But, you know, maybe we just need to get more school psychologists in there, more people who are qualified to do the job, rather than worrying about like, oh, well, we don't have as many black people in there or as many Indian people in there, and they don't look exactly like the students, you know, like maybe the top priority should just be filling these slots with qualified people, you know? And he's like, okay. Wasn't really like excited about my input in the class, you know? And then there's this other girl in there, and she's an African-American. She's shaking her head the whole time I'm talking. She's so mad, you know, and she didn't like what I had to say at all. But then another girl who was black, thank God, because I mean, not that it should matter, but thanks to propaganda and DEI and liberal bullcrap, it kind of does. But another black girl who works in the school system, too, so she's more qualified than me to speak on it. She was like, no, I agree with Heather. I think we need to just get people to fill these jobs, and like that we need to think about the student as a whole. It doesn't really matter what race they are. But it's crazy that these are the things that our students are having to put up with today, like in their classes. Just the propaganda you have to stomach to get a degree, it's insane.
It is. And, you know, it's definitely that case pretty much no matter what degree you get. I imagine it's really overboard when it comes to something like, you know, anything in the school industry, you know, anything teachers or counselors or psychologists or anything like that. And it's like, I don't even understand. So you're already in college going for this degree, and they're spending 2 days lecturing you about how you need more. It's like, what? These are the people that are already in the class. So like, why are you even talking about it? That doesn't make any sense. And it's like, do they want less? Like, what is the point of discussing it? Are you going to stop white women from becoming psychologists, or are you going to try to get more non-white women to become psychologists? And either way, are you not just, you know, imposing something on people that aren't choosing it themselves? What is it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful like credit to white women that they would take these jobs. I mean, when you're talking about dealing with special needs kids and, you know, all the schooling that it takes, that requires an immense amount of patience, an immense amount of dedication to deal with. I mean, my mom was a special needs teacher, and like the stories she came home with, it was like, how do you go back to work every day? It really takes commitment. And it's like, the white women are taking this on and getting hate for it. It's insane.
It's crazy because of the major overcorrection. It's like, well, this is still kind of racism though, isn't it? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to are you going to take jobs away from from the white women and start giving them to more diversified people? Like, I don't understand why this even matters. This is just still racism. And then another girl chimed in. She's like, I didn't have a chance to speak up earlier, but I wanted to say that I just remember this is why I'm taking this class, because I remember being a little brown girl in school, and I just want to get this job and help little brown girls. And I didn't say nothing to that, but because I'm just trying to get through these classes. But I'm like, man, if I'd said that as a white girl, I would probably be kicked out of school. You know, like, why is it okay for anyone to say anything like that? Like, what does that mean? You're not going to help little white girls. You're not going to help little Indian girls. Right. Like, why that should maybe hire people that want this job, regardless of the race of students they're going to be helping. Why are we spending all the class talking about what an outrage it is that they're 80% of the women that are people that are in this job are white women? Like, why does it matter? Like,
right.
I don't understand.
Well, and that's kind of creepy, where it's like, oh, you know, as a student, I needed a black woman to be my psychologist, or else I couldn't relate to them. It's like, okay, does she, you know, if a little white girl goes into her office, like, how's that little white girl going to be treated? Is she going to, you know, is she going to feel like she's, you know, as a psychologist, as a brown woman, she's like not capable, or maybe shouldn't help the little white kid and is going to like harm them somehow? I mean, that is just, it's just weird for that to be the priority of people who are in charge of the psychology of our children, or at least, you know, helping with it. That's just, that's horrifying. Yeah. God bless you, Heather. I wish you luck in that. And, sounds like, you know, what you have to do, just sort of get through it and try to actually help out. But, it sucks to be in that situation, and good on you for speaking up in any way against that. Cause that is a very, risky thing to do. Thank you for the call, Heather. And I want to move on to Andrew from New Jersey, because I think you have sort of similar, at least a similar topic that you've called in to discuss. Andrew from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Great job, Heather. And don't be afraid to speak up. My friend and I, we took a course in the Latino literature, but the professor was not a radical leftist at all. He actually talked sense about having a father in the home. But my friend was afraid to ever speak up, because of his grade jeopardizing, but I would speak up. I didn't care, and I got a better grade than him. But great job speaking up. Classical learning, the guy that you had on earlier. Just real quick on that, the slavery, the native tribes enslaved each other, and I spoke with liberals once in a Starbucks on break, and they were like, well, what happened to the native Indians? And I said, no, they killed each other. And he said, well, it's not as bad or the same, because it was their land, but killing is killing, enslaving. And it's also ignorant and racist to see them all as one group. There are different tribes, some who hated each other. And fast forward to the modern times. My wife is Asian from Thailand. She was apprehensive of taking China Air to Thailand because she has a prejudice, or their culture is different than Thai. So she's actually the one that was prejudiced. But they're not all the same. The Hitu and the Tawatsi in South Africa, they have to be segregated because they hate each other. But DEI, I just want to say, I understand the thought process, but you're exasperating the problem. Mm-hmm. When you have an out-of-wedlock birth rate, almost 70% in the black community, block school choice, then you're going to say, okay, well, we'll have racist laws to get you in college. We'll have racist laws against whites. You're just continuing exasperating the problem.
Right.
And my father was screwed over big time in the city of Newark. He had to sue, just like that guy said, over and over. He was by far the most qualified. He was a military veteran. He would score first on the test. But anyway, they're really not helping. That's a point that people don't understand with DEI. You're just encouraging bad behavior. And thanks for letting me ramble on. So
no, you're exactly right. It's like there's a million different reasons to oppose DEI. It doesn't help anybody. Who is it going to help to discriminate against qualified candidates and putting unqualified candidates? It doesn't help the unqualified candidate. They're going to fail, and it's going to be, you know, reflect badly on their, you know, group anyway, right? It's like, wow, every time we put a black person in charge, you know, they don't succeed. And it's like, well, it's because they're not qualified, because you're choosing them because they're black, not because they're qualified. It's like, this doesn't help anybody. And we've talked about it a million times. Thomas Sowell has written whole books about this, about the fact that you take a black student who would do extremely well in a state school, but just because you want to do a DEI and affirmative action, you put them in an Ivy League school and they can't keep up with their classmates. And so you either have to change the grading rubric to lower standards to force them through and make it look like they passed. So you're destroying the institution, or you're setting the kid up for failure because you're putting him in a place that he's not qualified to go in. And it's just like, who is this helping? Why is this a good thing? How could it possibly be? And all of that's just sort of in addition to the basic moral fact that you shouldn't be discriminating against people on the basis of their race in the first place. So you don't even need the like tangible negative consequences, which do exist, but they're just superfluous and extra when all you really need is the basic, moral assertion that this is wrong and it's bad and stupid to discriminate against people because of the race of their, because of their race or skin color. I mean, this is all so obvious. It hurts to have to go through this over and over. Like, this country's full of children that don't understand basic. I mean, and even that is unfair to children. Children understand this very well. It takes a particularly brainwashed idiot moron adult to actually fall for this crap. Children understand this immediately. Let's go to Eris in Wisconsin. Eris in Wisconsin on line one. Thank you for calling in about European reclamation. Hey. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about Europe, what's going on there, and the European eradication, the Gentile genocide, the white Holocaust going on. And I think it's way beyond voting. The people vote in are just going to say they do one thing and do another, that the people are going to have to go like Serbian style in the 90s and like force them out. And it's just going to get worse and worse. And it's unfortunate also, people don't like talking about it because it's taboo, that it's also like a breeding program where these poor white women are being violated. And then the white domestic men don't have a suitable mate. They get sloppy seconds and they fall into a life of despair, which is overall a part of the strategy of kind of making all the European men gay and kind of like faggy mincy balls.
Yep.
So like they can't stand up, you know, and then they are just desperate. The saddest part is like it has to get to the point where the people on our side of the cause, it's my belief very personally, that they have to be willing to die and go beyond for the cause to get things right, which is drastic. But as you can see, nothing else has worked. We've tried to roll out the red carpet and make things nice, and everyone's just getting cucked. You're complaining about Europe, but it's just as bad in the U.S.
Oh yeah, no, and you're exactly right. And look,
we have guns.
It is very much a breeding operation, right? I mean, there's a reason that it's millions of military-aged men coming to Europe, and mostly what motivates them are white women. Like, you realize that, right? You realize. And these people have access to the internet and they see white women as whores that they can just go and sleep with. And of course, the media constantly is promoting miscegenation or whatever the word is, right? Constantly uplifting and upholding black or Middle Eastern men while denigrating and humiliating white men. I mean, it's very clearly a psychological operation to try to overcome the proclivity of white women that they generally prefer white men, and they're trying to, you know, manipulate them out of that in an effort to breed Europeans out of existence. I mean, that really is what's happening here. It really is creepy and insane and disgusting. But that's obviously the motive. That's obviously the reason they're doing this. At the end of the day, it is a sort of weird inverted white supremacy where I think the solution to it, maybe people will have to die. I hope not. I hope that, you could reclaim Europe and expel these people. I mean, the longer it goes, the harder it's going to be and the more crazy, and violent it's going to have to be. And that is all on purpose as well, obviously. I just think white people need to stop thinking that they're special. I mean, it really is sort of an inverted white supremacy where white people think that they don't have to worry about their race disappearing or going away. That it's just like, whatever, it doesn't matter. People can attack us. They can hate us. They can discriminate against us, and we're white, so we're fine. It's like, no, you're not special. You are just as vulnerable as any other race. You're just as vulnerable, of being a victim of oppression. You're just as vulnerable of being a victim of eradication. You are not special. You need to stand up for yourself just like everybody stands up for themselves. And the minute the white people just start acting like every other group of people, we'll be fine. And it's just getting over this inculcation, this mind control that they've got white people under, that like it's bad and wrong for us to take our own side. It's not. Unless it's bad for everybody, which you can make that case, but nobody else is listening to you. Only white people listen to that argument. Only white people, you know, value every race equally. Every other race values themselves way over everybody else and really have, you know, very mean things to say about white people overall, statistically. Like, this is just the reality. So, white people, get over yourselves. You're not special. You are being genocided. You're going to go away. You're going to be defeated. You are not invulnerable. You are not invincible. You're just a group of people. Like any other group of people, you need to stop acting like you're above such things. You're not. And it's a weird sort of white supremacy that makes people think that white people just don't need to defend themselves. That's insane. Completely insane. So I agree completely, Aris. Let's go to Tim in California now. 4-year anniversary of the bombing of Abbey Gate. So that was the death of 13, I believe, servicemen and women in Afghanistan during the chaotic exit of that country. We'll go to Timothy in Tim in California and Timothy in California. We go to Tim in California first, talking about the bombing of Abbey Gate. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, well, that's really it. I mean, you kind of just hit it. I just didn't want the day to go away without us acknowledging what took place because, you know, Joe wanted to, you know, this is August 26th. He wanted to beat the 20-year anniversary of September 11th. So, hey, for his, hey, I did it before the 20-year. He was willing to just recklessly do something just totally asinine. And this is, and hundreds of Afghans died in the same blast. Many of our service members also got maimed in that same blast. But the whole thing was botched because Joe tried to lead from the White House, and he didn't know anything about what he's doing. He just had a date that he wanted done by.
And then, of course, the famous image of the bodies being delivered, the caskets arriving in the U.S., and Joe Biden looking at his watch and wondering how long he's going to have to pretend to care about the people that his decisions directly killed, directly led to the death of. Just an absolutely shameful and horrific example of American history that, of course, the mainstream media will cover up because it reflects badly on their side, the Democrats. So just remember, you know, when it comes to priorities, upholding their reputation is always more important than even the death of American servicemen. Thank you for that reminder, Tim. Let's go to another Tim in California, Timothy in California. Go ahead. We got about a minute left in the show. Timothy, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Harrison, for having me on your show. It's my first time on the American Journal, and so I'm really happy, and I've really been enjoying your comments the last couple of weeks. You've been cooking,
so
I just wanted to call in and say, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live, at least a while. But dying in your bed many years from now, would you be willing to sacrifice all the days from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemy that they may take our lives, but they'll never take away our freedom? I just kind of wanted to do that.
Amen.
In honor of this little girl who has the courage of hundreds of William Wallaces. And just is such a symbol, not just for Scotland or England or the struggle going on. And, you know, I'm half Anglo-Saxon and Scottish myself and Japanese. Japan is also another nation that the globalists are gearing up to flood with immigrants, by the way. But
100%. Timothy, that was an amazing call. That was your first time calling in. I hope you become a regular caller. Please call in again. I wish we had more time. We're coming up to the end of the show. But that's absolutely what we need, that William Wallace energy. And you're right. I mean, as cool as it is for William Wallace to stand up, kind of cooler if you're a 12-year-old girl standing up like that. That takes some cojones. Stay tuned, folks.
What really makes a nutraceutical work? What is a nutraceutical? What is a supplement? Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about Power Plant, for example. So Methyl Drive is something that everyone, whether they're 12 or whether they're 90, they should all take it. Power Plant is a little bit more specific. It's good for both men and women. I would say it has a stronger, more pronounced factor on the younger side, especially people that are into high-intensity exercise. Key ingredient in that is cordyceps, which increases your oxygen carrying capacity, but it also increases ATP, and it also helps you make new mitochondria. So imagine taking something like cordyceps found in Power Plant and then combining it with Methyl Drive. But oh, wait, there's also total male mineral support in Power Plant. We've got zinc, which increases luteinizing hormone, which makes you produce more testosterone. But then to counteract the rise in sex hormone binding globulin, we include boron in it to increase your free testosterone. That's something that normal formulas don't do. We've got the thing that creates free testosterone in your body in Power Plant, according to studies. That's Mainline. You can Google it.
And not all CoQ10 is the same, right?
Everyone should take CoQ10. Listen, and if you're going to take CoQ10, you're going to go to some store or some pharmacy, and they're going to try to sell you a bottle with the same amount that's in here for like $50. You get CoQ10 plus four other ingredients with this. It's true.
And the same amount.
Same amount. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our ultramethylene blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any like man or woman, young and old, if you're on methylene blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take.
So the methylene blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is a nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.